We are winding up the week here on One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with John Murphy.
Bills rookies are on their way out to this field for day one of the weekend rookie minicamp. We'll be out here live as well.
Yeah, I'm going to catch up to some of these guys and find out what their first day as a Buffalo Bill is like.
And at 1 o'clock, Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, will get his take on Josh Allen and the rest of the rookie quarterbacks around the league.
One Bills Live starts now.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
That's right. One Bills Live here for a Friday, end of the week, and first day of the rookie minicamp. Welcome to New Era Field, and welcome to our studio, the One Buffalo Studio, inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. John Murphy, along with Steve Tasker, former Bills special teams ace, our co-host today. Somebody, one of the staffers today, started giving us different names for OBL. You've got the OBL
pull
over there.
That's
what
right.
What did she say? Only beer.
No, official
lovers?
Beer lovers.
Official beer lovers.
I have a T-shirt with that, I think.
Pretty good. One Bills Live is the name of our show, and we're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and we're here until 3. And you heard the lineup, pretty good show, and it's all kind of centered around the rookie minicamp, which we should get you out there in a moment. Chris Brown, Bills insider Chris Brown, going to be on the field to report live as the rookies take the field for the first time. Actually, the second time. Steven, you and I got a chance to watch like the walkthrough. Man, we're talking NFL 101, right? This is introductory level football for NFL football for this group here, right?
Yeah, we'll get to it in a little bit. Sean McDermott addressed, you know, what they expected out of it. And basically, these guys don't even know where the weight room is, you know. I mean, they don't know where the locker room, how to get around the building. And basically, that's why they kind of give them a weekend by themselves without any veterans here. So they can kind of get to know the trainers, get to know where their locker is, where the meeting room is, where their position group meet is, where they get lunch, where, you know, just, all right, here's how we do things. And then they get, you know, start to get, go from there about, you know, getting more complicated. Okay, here's where we're going to meet. Now here's what we really do, you know, and that's, it all starts today.
Starting, cool. Yeah, right now as we speak. We'll get you out there in a moment. By my count, 55 people at this rookie camp. The Bills announced the signing of some undrafted rookie free agents today. They've also signed some of their own draft picks. Let's see, the bottom half, I think it's just the top two or the top three now unsigned, right? Two first-round picks unsigned as of now, and Harrison Phillips, the third-round pick. But they're all here, all the draft picks. They practice even without being under contract. And all the other draft picks agreed to terms and signed their contracts. And a number of undrafted rookie free agents that we will discuss, at least talk about some of the big names there as the afternoon goes along. And you heard the lineup. Dan Orlovsky is going to join us at 1 o'clock. He is a former NFL quarterback, bounced around the league a little bit, now bouncing around broadcasting a little bit. We had him on the show before the draft, and he had some interesting thoughts about Josh Allen, and we'll revisit those thoughts with him. You had a chance to hang with him a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I got a chance to know him. He's a sharp guy, and quarterbacks always see football for one thing differently, but they also see the world differently. So it's fun to get him in and see what their take is on everything. He's going to have some things to say about the draft class, the quarterback draft class, and he was in training camp with the Chargers this last fall. Did not make that team, but he's just ending up a 13-year career in the National Football League. So pretty long. He spent some time in Indianapolis with Peyton Manning and some other places. So it's pretty interesting to talk to him.
We'll get him on in one. We'll have some of the players, rookies, including Josh Allen and maybe some others coming off the field when practice ends. But the rookie minicamp is underway. And our man Chris Brown, Bills insider at BuffaloBills.com, is out on the grass practice field outside the AdPro Sports Training Center. Chris, it feels kind of like fall out there, doesn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, it's probably just in the 50s today, but the sun just peeked through the clouds. So, I mean, I know these guys will probably be pretty happy. It's cool. Not too hot here because it was 80 degrees here on Tuesday this week. So this is a stark contrast to that. And, you know, knowing these guys will be running around and getting some work in, they've got to feel good that it's the heat's not going to be too high up there where they'll be breaking a sweat, you know, 2 minutes into drills. They'll have to get warmed up first before that happens.
Well, they're into – you can see them behind you if you're watching on video. They're into the early stretch portion, and we'll stick with Chris for as long as we can. There'll come a time when Chris and all the rest of the media has to leave. But, Chris, what do you look for in a rookie minicamp? What will be the thing that you're – where will your eye go first as you watch this group of 55 players, including the draft picks from 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, an NFL scout told me a long time ago that you can get a lot out of watching individual position drills. You're watching the players at those positions do the specific things that need to be a part of their skill set to be successful at this level. Perfect example would be the defensive backs, whether they're going through those box drills where they're doing drops, exploding out of their pedal, little footwork, things like that. When you watch 12 guys in a row do that drill, you can separate the haves from the have-nots pretty quickly, even for the untrained eye, you know, the non-scouting eye, so to speak. If you know anything about any athletics, you can determine pretty quickly who's got the coordination skills, the change of direction skills to cut the mustard at the pro level. So that's kind of what I'm going to be having my eye looking at through these individual position drills, see who has the goods and who might be on the outside looking in when decisions have to be made.
One of the things that I find interesting, Chris, is the fact that they've got 9 rookie wide receivers on the field today. I mean, they got 9 guys out there. That's a lot of guys. I know they got a first-round quarterback and they want to see him throw, but they really think 9 guys. Some of those guys, numbers tell us, there's 2 draft picks, late-round draft picks, of course, Ray McLeod and Austin Prohl. A couple of those, you got to think that that's a spot on this roster that maybe some of these guys might make it all the way through training camp onto the final 53.
Right. I mean, 4 of those 9 that you mentioned are tryout guys, so those guys are really facing an uphill battle. Probably the most interesting name there is the undrafted signing, Robert Foster out of Alabama, a player that Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, knows very well and pushed to recruit on the part of the scouting staff. Yes, the college scouting staff was certainly aware of him, but Brian Daboll, obviously working with him on a day-to-day basis over the past calendar year, had a firm working knowledge of what he brings to the table. This is a perfect case of a measurables guy. He wears jersey number 8 out here for the Bills, and 6'2", 196, runs well, and also has the physical talent to play at the NFL level. The challenge for him is going to be implementing the offense, and you would think to some degree he's going to know the terminology coming in the door, having played in the Alabama offense. There are going to be some terminology terms, obviously, that Daboll carries over with him to the Bills, so you would think he has an edge there. And now the reason, so you say, well, why the heck wasn't this kid drafted? The big knock on Robert Foster was lacking instincts, how to read plays after the snap, reading a defensive back, things of that nature. And I know Steve can certainly speak more to that than I can, but it's the instincts of reading a defensive back, setting him up to get more consistent separation. These are the elements of his game that in the minds of a lot of pro scouts was not there. And it's why he did fall through the cracks and reached priority free agent status as opposed to being drafted in the 2018 draft.
Bills insider Chris Brown reporting from rookie minicamp, which is just underway, just started moments ago. Fellas, we're burying the lead. The lead is the quarterback, Josh Allen, 7th pick overall in the draft. His first time in a Bills uniform on a Bills practice field. What's he look like, Chris? I know they're just stretching, but what's he look like?
Yeah, they were just – he's big. surprise.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Well, here's the funny thing was, there as we were coming out here, they were working on center to quarterback exchange, which you'd expect. We're working on the most basic levels of football here this weekend. And then they're working on rolling out and handing off. And the funny thing here is the only other quarterback here this weekend is a tryout player by the name of Ryan Zapaticki from Shippensburg.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got Josh Allen, 6'5", 237, and Zapaticki's 6 foot in cleats. So the disparity there, you know, in height alone is a tough one for him to handle. But you stand those two next to each other going through drills, and it's like you can pick out the high first-round pick right away.
Yeah.
So, but no, what I want to see from Josh this weekend is consistency with his footwork, tying his feet into his throwing motion. The one area in particular, and you can see this on film, anytime he throws to the left side of the field, at least on his college tape, he had a bad habit of putting his foot in the bucket. What does that mean? That means instead of stepping towards his target and driving his hips into the throw, he would step out and almost put his foot in a bucket, kind of like baseball players do. So this would be a right-handed batter, for example. Instead of stepping into the pitch and driving the ball, he would step out away from underneath his body frame. And what that tends to do is either have the ball sail or be inaccurate and come up short, depending on his release point. So I want to see if working with Jordan Palmer the past 3 or 4 months has helped him eliminate that from his game. Because throwing to the right side of the field, it's obviously natural being a right-handed thrower, and his mechanics in terms of tying his feet to his hands are pretty good. Coming to the left side, that's where he's had a problem area with his accuracy because of that footwork mechanic or lack thereof. So that's one of the first things I want to see if he's nailed down and eliminated from his game.
Yeah, and one of the frustrating things about it is they kick you guys out when the good stuff starts to happen on the practice field. Am I right?
Yes, so we'll see how far we get, and hopefully we get at least a glimpse of that before all is said and done here and they blow the whistle on us.
I wonder if Josh Allen is nervous today, Chris. What do you think?
I think nerves are natural. You want to make a good first impression. You don't want to screw up. But I think, as Coach McDermott said in his press conference, he's very straightforward in making the message clear to these guys that he doesn't expect perfection. A lot's being thrown at these guys, and they make a point of not trying to overload them with scheme. They want to be able to accurately evaluate what these guys can and cannot do from an athletic perspective. And to do that, you need these guys playing at full speed. Well, if you overload them with information, they can't do that. So they're going to keep it very simple, very basic, and hope that their athletic ability shows on the field this weekend. And that's really the goal for the coaches. And I think that takes the load off the minds of the players as well and lets them just be players.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Can we stay with you for a few more minutes during this individual work, Chris? I think it's all right. No? Yes?
Yeah, I believe we can. Believe we can, yeah. I know our shooter, Mike, has got the quarterbacks in his shot here. So we'll see. You know, this is going to be some basic footwork stuff. There's going to be, you know, throwing quarterbacks on air here in a short time, but I think they're just going to be working on drops and footwork here going through the bags for the quarterbacks, as Brian Daboll is working very closely with those guys along with quarterbacks coach David Culley.
I was going to say, it looks like Coach Daboll is right there with the quarterbacks. We'll see how that plays out, right, as the OTAs continue over the next several weeks.
Right, and, you know, Coach McDermott said on the heels of the draft that, you know, it's going to be up to Coach Daboll and Coach Culley, you know, to get Josh Allen ready for OTAs in just a couple of weeks. So it's a very short time frame, obviously, this weekend, but the biggest benefit for him is it's essentially one-on-one training. And this is going to be a huge weekend for Josh, because this isn't about the competition that's going to pick up very quickly in earnest once we get to OTAs. What this weekend is about is one-on-one instruction, helping him specifically with his game, each and every day on the practice field, and then in film work after practice where they're going to be reviewing everything that he's done.
Yeah.
So this is the opportunity that he's got to take full advantage of this weekend, knowing that once we get to OTAs, the competition is on.
Right, and one of the misnomers about pro football, people hear he's got a quarterback's coach, they do. But really, the offensive coordinator and the starting quarterback, they build the offense together, and the quarterback has – say over what he likes, what he doesn't like. The coordinator's job is to, you know, push this guy's buttons, coach him up, work on his deficiencies, and put him in a spot where he can make throws he's seen before and understands what he's trying to do. And they do it together. And while there is a quarterback's coach, what his job really is, as the season rolls on and they start throwing in these offenses and stuff, the quarterback coach really becomes a liaison between the quarterback and the coordinator, because – you know, it's a team effort, but that coordinator, and we're going to talk about this maybe later in the show, the biggest acquisitions for any of these teams in the offseason is coordinators. Brian Daboll, you can't underestimate the effect he's going to have on Josh Allen. While the quarterback competition is going to get heated, Brownie, you know this, the coordinator is the guy that decides what it's all going to look like.
Right, and he's already correcting Josh on rolling to his left, because as he did that on his last rep, he left his shoulders completely open to the field and just flicked it to the receiving target. And this is a common thing in Josh's game that has to get corrected. He relies so much on his arm strength because he's got a howitzer that his mechanics end up suffering. And when your mechanics suffer, your consistency suffers. So he just went through those bags to the left on a rep about 2 minutes ago and Dable already corrected him and said, you've got to have your left shoulder pointed at that target, even though you're rolling to your left. Because if you don't, right here, he's got to point that left shoulder down the field and not just flick it by facing downfield square with his shoulders square down the field. He wants him pointing his lead shoulder there with his left shoulder, you know, so he can square up the target more effectively. So these are just the small little parts of Allen's game that Brian Dable and David Culley are going to be working on and correcting on a daily basis. And then they're going to go inside afterwards and show them on film.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Talk about the little things too. And somebody asked Sean McDermott this at the news conference last hour about, for instance, Sam Darnold's first practice with the Jets. I think it was late last week, and he fumbled his first snap, and, you know, that was like, you know, front page in the New York Daily News. And there's a tendency, and this is all we have, I understand it, but there's a tendency to overreact to these first few things we see from these, you know, highly sought-after quarterback first-rounders. Don't you agree, Chris?
Well, they're under the microscope.
Yeah.
I mean, and Coach knows that. I mean, Coach even said it himself in the press conference. He said, look, we understand it's a quarterback-driven league. We understand they're going to be under the microscope, but we stick to what our approach is, and our approach is growth mindset, look to improve every single day, and if Josh can do that, he'll be a lot closer to what his goals are here as a rookie at the end of it than he will be at the beginning. So I think the whole approach here with Josh Allen is a very measured one on the part of Coach McDermott, Coach Dable, Coach Culley, and even management. I think they know what he is, and they know what has to be done. You know, he's a giant moldable piece of clay. Now is when the molding starts, and let's see where it is after he's had some time on the job. They don't expect him to come in and be a world beater. They expect to hone his skills, have him work on his craft, minimize the weaknesses, and try to grow the strengths of his game by, you know, adding consistency to it. You know, and that's job number one for Josh Allen here as a rookie.
Yeah, you can see now what they're doing with these yoga balls, these 2 feet, 2.5 foot high balls. Josh Allen drops back, and then they bounce these balls at him like they're rushers, and he steps out of the way of these big bouncing balls and then makes the throw. But you're right. I mean, this is just – it's a tough job. He's got a big job ahead of him. He's talented, and he's got all it's going to take to get there. But this is just step one of a million steps he's got to take to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's got to work on his techniques. He's got to learn the offense. He's got to command a huddle. He's got to get to know his teammates. And today, they're just showing him where the weight room is, you know. Yeah. So it's a long process. And this is, you know, we're 20 minutes into what everybody hopes is a 15-year all-pro Hall of Fame career for this guy. But, you know, it starts with throwing the football the same to the left side of the field as you throw it to the right side. And it's something you got to teach these guys because it's not natural.
Right, I know you guys can't hear what the coaches are yelling at him now,
no.
But they're basically stressing to him, eyes downfield, eyes downfield. Your peripheral vision should take care of these rushers. I mean, it has to, because your eyes have to be downfield as the quarterback. Despite what might be going on around you, you have to find your target so you can get rid of the ball so that rush becomes less effective, and that's what they're yelling at him right now. Avoid it, pick a side. You know, and then keep your eyes downfield so you can deliver the football, even though you might have traffic around you. It's very unnerving for quarterbacks, you know, to have that traffic down around their feet. They worry about, you know, having a knee injury, getting an ankle busted, getting a foot stepped on, whatever it is. They've got to ignore that stuff and, you know, commit themselves to focusing their eyes downfield. That's really what they're driving at here.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com on the field as the rookie minicamp practice one is underway. There's another first-rounder on the field out there, Tremaine Edmonds, the first-round pick from Virginia Tech. Chris, Steve and I were peeking out our secret office in the training center today at the walkthrough. Both of us marveled at the size of Tremaine Edmonds. You see it on paper, right? You see his dimensions on paper, and you're like, oh, that's pretty good size. You see him on the field, and you're like, he is a big man, Tremaine Edmonds. He really is a big man. I was shocked. He's listed as 6'4", 253. He looks bigger, taller, and all-around just – much bigger than he's listed on paper to me anyway, Chris. What do you see out there?
Well, yeah, and let's take in mind here that we're lining him up here this weekend with fellow rookies, tryout players, and undrafted rookies.
Right.
He's a head taller than everybody on the field.
The next, I'm looking at the next biggest linebacker that he'd be lining up near would be 6 foot 1 inch tall. So yeah, he's bigger.
Right.
Than
he's a head tall. I mean, it's significantly taller than everybody. It's kind of, it's like he looks like. Like an older kid playing with a bunch of little brothers, you know. I mean, he really is that kind of guy. And immediately they stick him, and a lot was said. And you can see here from we're watching it, our radio listeners can't, but they lined him up right in the middle of the defense, stacked up right behind the nose tackle. And he's one of those guys going to have a radio on his head and start to command the huddle, it looks like, right away.
Right. They flipped him over to the offense here to run against the second string unit.
Right. Now he's taking handoffs.
Yeah,
he does everything.
right. but he was, he's with the first unit, and Coach McDermott did confirm today that, yes, he is going to be running the huddle, because I think in a perfect world, he steps right into that middle linebacker job that, let's be honest, there's a huge vacancy there after Preston Brown signed with Cincinnati in free agency. And if all goes right, he's your starting middle linebacker in September. And, you know, people say, well, how is a 20-year-old going to be able to dictate and line up guys that are up to 15 years older than him? Lorenzo Alexander is going to be lining up next to him as a weak side linebacker. He's 35 years old. Is he going to take instructions from this guy? Well, yeah, he is.
He is.
And here's the thing. And we wrote a story about it on BuffaloBills.com about a week ago. We did this big profile piece on Tremaine. I mean, he obviously comes from a football family. His dad was an NFL tight end, went to a couple of Pro Bowls with the Dolphins.
Yep.
But here's the other thing. His dad was also his high school coach. And so after games, probably his freshman year in high school was when he would start coming into his dad's office at the house after games to watch film. And he said the first thing he would do is just watch himself to see what he could do. This is what his dad told me. His dad, Farrell Edmonds, said first he would just watch himself to see what he could do better. Then he started watching guys he would be matching up against, you know, offensive linemen who's getting to the second level, you know, that kind of thing. And then he started asking for tape of the team they were playing that week to prepare. I mean, this is a high school freshman doing this. So when you think about the fact that some guys come to the NFL and many of them don't even know how to watch film or the little nuances to look for in an opponent that week, those are the things that he already has in his back pocket and has been doing for the better part of the last 7 years. So wise beyond his years is probably an understatement for Tremaine Edmonds.
His years are very short, though. 20 years old.
It's not a big number.
Brownie, thank you for this. I feel like we're right back in the regular season now, don't you?
Well, pump the brakes. Let's have a summer first.
it feels good to have you out there. Love to have you on the show. Thank you, Chris. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. That's how you do it. That's how – come on. Remember how I said I was looking forward to the start of minicamp?
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to see.
Brownie's good at it, too.
Brownie's good at it.
He is, and he knows – and the stuff he was talking about, Josh Allen, he's right. I mean, it's not natural for a guy to step to throw it left rather than right. It's so easy to turn it right because you almost – you turn your back to the center and you turn your shoulders and get it out there. And then when you throw to the left, you just turn that way, and the tendency is to turn way too far to open it up and – sling it out there, and the ball sails. It's inaccurate that way. So
I'm hesitant to make broad generalizations after, 10 minutes of the first rookie minicamp, but I have to say I'm impressed, and I like the fact that Brian Daboll is right there in the face of his rookie quarterback. I think that's a good omen, a good sign for the future.
Well, they're coaching him up. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think it's nice that Brian Daboll has all the experience in the world. And I said this to you, coordinators are key. Acquisitions.
What'd you say? The most valuable,
Free agents you can sign, and Brian Daboll, particularly, and we noted on it in some of the rookie tryouts they brought in, particularly the fact that he just came from the college ranks. College kids expect to be coached. They expect to be coached, and particularly they expect to be coached hard and told, you know, what you're doing wrong, what you got to do better, and to have him come up here fresh out of that, fresh out of a national championship with Alabama last year, calling plays. I think it's a perfect mesh for what Josh Allen needs, what he expects, and how to get the most out of him.
Steve and I are here until 3. We got a good show coming up with Dan Orlovsky, former Connecticut quarterback, former NFL quarterback, coming on the show at 1 to talk about quarterbacks. We're going to talk more about the rookie and after practice, and they should be going for, I would think, at least an hour and 15 minutes from now. After that, we'll hear from some of the rookies. You're going to go out there and talk to, hopefully, Josh Allen and a couple of others, right?
Yeah, I am. We're going to go out and see if we can catch up to those guys live. And if we don't get it live right on the air, we'll certainly tape it and show it let you listen to it live later. But the you're interested. They're going to be out there for, like, what, 90 minutes? Isn't it, like, old school? It must be the old school in me. Wouldn't you keep these guys out there for, like, 6 hours? You know?
No.
You have lots to teach them, you know? And
they're
not
sending them home at 1:30 today.
Well, I guess that's true. They are going to take them. They'll come in and they'll watch film.
They're
going to
show them where – what did you say? They got to learn where the
– they got to learn where they meet, the individual meeting rooms are, the team meeting rooms.
They got to show them where the men's room is.
The men's room, the locker room, the shower, the trainer's room, the weight room. They're going to go to weight. They're going to lift weights right after practice too. So, we've been kind of filled in on what their schedule is, because we really are trying to fit in a chance to talk to these guys live on the air, and it's a logistical little problem because, I guess they got to eat lunch too. So you know we can't just keep them right. So we're trying to fit it in where we can fit into their schedule and get a chance to talk to them before we go off the air at 3.
Thanks for fitting us into your schedule today. We're going to keep tabs on the rookies as the rookie minicamp is underway. And let's talk a little bit about what the kind of feedback we're looking at, Steve, when it comes to the Twitter poll today.
We haven't even talked about the Twitter poll.
We have not talked about it, and I think it's a good one. Did you come up with this one? Who gets credit for this?
I don't know. Whoever did is a really good one, though.
This was you. How many Twitter poll where we'd like to launch the discussion anyway, and you can call your answers, your responses in, your thoughts in, 803-0550, and outside Buffalo toll-free, 1-888-552-550. All these rookies out here, what did I say, 55 in camp. How many Bills rookies will be in the starting lineup opening day, September 9th at Baltimore? How many? Who will they be, and why will they be there? On Twitter, we offer some suggestions, 0 to 1. 7% of you say there's going to be no rookies or just one rookie in the starting lineup opening day. 54% of you say 1 or 2. Tell us who you think and why. 39% of you say 3 or more. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Or just weigh in on Twitter. We'll read your tweets from the tweet sheet coming up in a couple of minutes here. How many rookies will be in the starting lineup opening day at Baltimore?
Yeah, I think the over-under, I think, right, is at 2. Because you figure a guy, one of them is going to start somewhere. Tremaine Edmonds is almost a
given. I think the over-under is 1.5.
Right, you think that. And then it's like the 2, well, who's it going to be? Could Harrison Phillips come in and wow people and get in there at a defensive tackle spot?
Do we count Teron Johnson as a starter if he starts at the
nickel? Right, at the nickelback. If you get a nickel, I think you do. I think the nickelback has got to count as a starter because it's such a prevalent package. And then, you know, who else is it going to be? One of those wide receivers is... Is Ray McCloud going to step in? Is Austin Prohl going to be the slot receiver? Or is Jeremy Curley going to hold those guys off and be the veteran guy that they depend on going into the season? Is Zay Jones going to come back? Are you going to have Zay and Ray? You know, I mean, it's, as a play-by-play guy, you'll love that.
Zay over to Ray. Back to Zay.
Also on Twitter, if you have your phone, go on to Twitter and go to One Bills Live. Just down below the Twitter app is Josh Allen's first couple of snaps as a Bill in drills, and you get a chance to see him throw the football for the first time with the helmet on. And just in case you're looking for a hallmark and a point of history that may or may not be important later down the line,
hey,
it's on there.
I want to one other thing before we go to break here, Steve, and get to some calls and reading some tweets and talking more about the rookies. You were with some veterans, some alumni last night, a pretty cool meeting that you and a couple of teammates had at Jim Kelly's house, right? Tell us about that.
Yep. Well, Bruce came in town, Bruce Smith, and he came in town just to see Jim, and he put it out, and we have the Five Presidents text loop. And so he said, hey, I'm coming in town Thursday. Let's get together. And, of course, you know, Dennis DiPaolo brought food over. So it was Thurman, Jim, myself, Scott Birchtold, the PR guy for all those years when we were here, and Jim. We went over to Jim's house, had some food, and sitting around and chit-chatting. We watched Game 7 of the
hockey
Predators and
Winnipeg.
Edmonton, Winnipeg Jets, and the picture's up for the viewers on MSG. Jim, you know, the thing is with the surgery Jim had, he speaks. You can understand him. Not completely clear, but he's real vigorous. I mean, the guy seems, you know, healthy from the neck down. You know, you never know something was wrong with him, although, all the stuff was done. He's got a couple more surgeries lined up in the next few months. But it's great to see him. We had a lot of laughs. And it really made you feel good to go over and see him. He feels he's doing well, and Bruce coming in actually, you know, ramrodded the whole thing. Us getting against Thurman and Jim and I and Birchtold, we're all local guys, so it's like you know, we never get together because we can do it any time. Right. So therefore, we
I
never do, right?
Yeah.
We'll have lunch sometimes. And we'll say, let's do it again.
And you live like 5 minutes from Jim, right?
Yeah, less. Yeah. And Thurman's the same way. He lives in the other direction or 5 minutes north or south. So we did get together when Bruce came in, and Bruce kind of was the catalyst for us to get together. I was over there till late, and it was great. It was really fun.
Really great
really
picture.
Fun to see
what a
those
great
guys.
Get together.
We had a blast.
Thanks for sharing that. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get to your phone calls, your tweets, your thoughts, rookie minicamp, and how many rookies will be in the starting lineup for the Bills opening day September 9th in Baltimore. The phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Got a good show today to wrap up the week. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live, John Murphy, Steve Tasker from One Bills Drive. New Era Field is empty, but the Bills practice field is busy. 55, did I get that? I'm going to re-add. I think it's about 55 rookies. Let's tell you about a little bit of the news today before we get to some of your tweets. This morning, the Bills signed the fifth member of their eight-man draft class to a contract. They got fourth-round draft pick Taron Johnson from Weber State, the corner, under contract. The draft picks are signing quicker than I thought.
It's easier than it used to be. Remember how difficult it used to be when it was a free-for-all?
Yeah.
And, you know, you get – like Josh Allen will be getting $13 million or something. Yeah.
I mean, they stretch out into camp.
Right.
Late yesterday, four Bills draft picks agreed to terms, including fourth-round pick safety Saran Neal, fifth-round pick both of them, or one of the fifth-round picks, Wyatt Teller, the guard from Virginia Tech. Wide receiver Ray McLeod, sixth-round pick, and wide receiver Austin Prohl, seventh-round pick, all agreed to terms. So five of the eight, the top three still unsigned, but the top three are here at camp as we speak, rookie minicamp. And the Bills signed 12 undrafted free agents to contracts, and they are here as well. I'll go through the names real quick. Defensive end Matt Basin, tackle Ike Betcher, kicker Tyler Davis from Penn State, Arizona guard Gerhard DeBeer. Interesting guy, South African native, Gerhard DeBeer.
Yeah, he's the size of a house,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, huge. Cornerback Ryan Carter from Clemson. Running back Keith Ford, Texas A&M. Wide receiver Robert Foster, Alabama. Obviously, Brian Daboll knows a little bit about him playing for him at Alabama. Defensive end Mike Love, formerly of the Beach Boys. He's from South Florida. Wide receiver Cam Phillips from Virginia Tech. Tackle Mo Porter of Baylor is here. LSU linebacker Corey Thompson. And a pretty highly regarded cornerback, Levi Wallace from Alabama. Those 12 signed to contracts by the Bills and in camp today. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, last year I thought it was rare that also there's a slew of players, a lot of them. I'm going to say about, 25 players here on tryout basis, Steve.
Right.
I don't want to mention all of those names, but there are a couple. From the University at Buffalo, offensive lineman David Goldsby, 6'5", 314 pounds here on a tryout. And there's a Buff State product here as well on a tryout basis. That is defensive lineman Khalil Somerville, 6', 300-pound rookie here on a tryout basis. What happens if those guys show well this weekend, they get
contract
at the end of the weekend.
And it's funny, they got three tight ends. They got five offensive linemen that are here on tryouts. They've got four receivers, a fullback, a running back, a quarterback, of course. And then they've got, on the defensive side, four defensive linemen, like six linebackers, two corners, and three safeties. I mean, and good for them. I mean, I'll tell you what, though, trying to make this team as a safety, that's an uphill battle, man, with those two guys they've got that are really as good a tandem as there is in the league.
What do you think? How many rookies will be in the starting lineup for the Bills against Baltimore on opening day? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Or do it on Twitter. Steve, you got a couple of tweets to read.
Yeah, I do. In a minute, we're going to get to Sean McDermott and his soundbite at his presser. But a couple of people are giving us feedback about our Twitter poll about which rookie, how many rookies are going to start at the beginning of the season. Manny. T-Manny 22 says, going with two. Edmonds is the most likely, and that's what we said. And Taron Johnson has a chance to start nickel. Phillips will be a regular part of the D-line rotation. Always interesting to see which late-round undrafted free agent turns some heads. Since we're thin at wide receiver, would it be nice for one of these guys to be a hidden gem? Yeah, he's right. That's right down the line. That's a nice tweet from T-Manny22. Edmonds is the most likely, but he'd like to see, and he thinks Taron Johnson can get the nickel. But it would be nice if one of those young rookies just turns into, hey, where'd we find this guy?
Yeah.
Because it always means if you do find a guy like that, he's a pretty good player.
There's one receiver. I mentioned him, the Alabama receiver, Robert Foster, 6'2", 196, pretty good size. He has a chance, I think, to get maybe an extra look, having, you know, just because of the fact that he played for Brian Daboll at Alabama last year. He has a chance to get maybe an extra set of eyes on him as they go through this weekend and into OTAs coming up.
Coaches are notorious. They want what they know.
Yeah.
Not potential's great, but they want a guy they know and what they can. They know what they can ask and do. And you got to think that Foster, the receiver, knows, some, like you said, some terminology. There's got to be some carryover.
Here's a tweet from number one Bills. He said, I went with three plus Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, Wyatt Teller as a starter, at guard, I would think, and Gerhard DeBeer, he said, is my sleeper. He's a South African and is an undrafted free agent. A guy to keep an eye on, Gerhard DeBeer, for sure.
Yeah, just in case anybody's wondering about that guy, I'm looking for his measurables. And 6'6", 312 rookie, 6'6". He was listed as 6'7 on his bio. I don't know where they find these guys. Where do you...
Alabama or Arizona.
In South Africa, I guess, is where you find him.
He was a track guy, I think, at Arizona who decided to go out and play a little football. He hasn't played much.
Listen, you see some of this. When football coaches see a guy like that walking around campus, they are unashamed to go up and say, hey, how would you like to come out and try out for football? It's notorious. You got a 6'7", you see a 6'7", 315-pounder walking around. You think, I should know him.
Yeah, how do I not know him?
How does this football – how do I not know him? Oh, my gosh.
Here's a tweet from Trade Up Jack. He said, question, does a nickel corner count as a starter? Because that would make three. If not, I believe Edmonds will start at the mic and Wyatt Teller will start at left guard. Do not discount Ray McLeod and Ricky Prohl. The Bills have holes at wide receiver. One will probably be the punt return man. Prohl could be the next Julian Edelman. Boy, there's a lot there, Trade Up Jack. There's a lot of Wyatt Teller is held in extremely high regard, which
is
unusual, I think, for a fifth-round pick to get that much buzz. But, look, the Bills have had a couple of departures, right, in the interior of the offensive line. Wyatt Teller, who did not have a great senior year at Virginia Tech, had a solid career going before that. Great weightlifter, weight room
he's the
star
strongest guy
for Virginia
in the draft.
Tech.
Yeah, he was really strong, even by NFL standards. So he's going to be able to hold up physically, and at a guard, it's perfect. He also – a quick video that I saw about him, got long arms for a guard, which is key. But he's also got a lot of weight and a lot of strength, which means, and let's face it, he's going to be pushing guys that weigh three Bills plus. You got to push them around against their will. So you got to be strong. And down inside, you also got to be one of those guys that can get up to the second level and have some nimble feet. He certainly, the one thing I notice about him, his stance is really consistent, whether he's moving or whether he's going to fire out, whether he's going to move side to side, pull, or whether he's going to drive out. You can't tell which he's going to do, which is sometimes easy to do with a college lineman. He seems disciplined. He seems like he's been well coached. And I think it's a great sleeper pick to have that guy come in and start at left guard.
A pick that a lot of people like and some fans like too. All right, so send us your tweets. You can vote on our Twitter poll or give us a call. 803-0550, the number, or from outside Buffalo, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. How many rookies in the starting lineup on opening day for the Buffalo Bills? They're out on the field now, the rookies. Rookie minicamp is underway. Before rookie minicamp, head coach Sean McDermott met with the media, and he talked about the goals that he has going into this rookie minicamp this weekend.
It was good to get the guys in here beginning last night a little bit. Want to come in, it's really on two different levels. The first level being the drafted players, starting to understand our schemes, our systems, our program, and how we do things in all areas of our building in terms of the process. And then for some of the priority free agent guys we signed after the draft, and in particular the guys that are on the tryout, on a trial basis through the weekend, is really it's an opportunity for them to put their best foot forward and show us what they can do, albeit in a small window of time.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear Sean McDermott there at his presser this morning. It's really they are doing their best to keep it simple, because you get these guys in this building, you really want them to – what it basically comes down to, they need to feel comfortable when they come in the morning to work. They got to feel like they know what they're supposed to be doing. That starts when they walk in the door. They got to know where to look on the board, on a bulletin board, or who to ask, or how to find out what's the meeting, what's the first thing on the agenda, where am I supposed to be at what time, how much time do I have, where do I need to be, and how do I need to do it. And I'll tell you the truth, right now, when they come off the field, they're getting more uncomfortable, because the most comfortable these guys are going to be is when they step on the practice field, even though they don't know anything about anything. Coming into a new place at work is just like for these kids, it's like for everybody.
Yeah.
They don't know where the coffee machine is.
You just went through that.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
No, you've been around.
Exactly. Yeah, right. But exactly. It's strange. And they want these guys to feel as comfortable as they can. It was interesting. You said we're keeping the schemes. So we're not overloading them with schemes. At least when they get on the football field, they don't have all that much to think about. They say, hey, just a couple of defenses I got to remember. Here's my assignments. Let me play at least a little bit, run through this at full speed, and do it without making a mistake. So I think it's a smart thing to do. It's all new and different for them. It feels very strange for these young guys. And I think this coaching staff and this program and their mindset going into it is exactly where it needs to be.
What do you think as a rookie coming in here, and they come from various locations, as we said, there's guys here from small schools, there's guys from Buffalo State, you know, on a tryout basis here, and guys from the biggest schools you can find, you know, from Virginia Tech and some of the other big football. How much of an advantage do the big school guys have? Because they've been around weight rooms that look like this. They've been around practice facilities and locker rooms that might even be nicer than what they're seeing here in Buffalo. Do they have an advantage over the young guys from, Buffalo State or Carroll College, or I'm looking at some of the smaller schools here, Prairie View, Slippery Rock? I mean, those small school guys, are they in trouble?
That's a good question. I got to say no. Not on a day like today. Not on a day like today. It may be they may appreciate the weight room a little more. The guys from the small schools, they may understand. It may be hit them right in the face about, hey, wow, this is a different level. But by the same token, those guys that come from big schools, you know, go to Alabama or whatever, their facilities are probably much more massive than these NFL facilities are, because they got like 100 guys on the roster, you know, plus walk-on. So all their weight room looks three times bigger than the Buffalo Bills weight room. So for them, it's different in a different way. But I think for me, I mean, I came from the Big Ten. I came to from Northwestern. I was shocked at how intimate it was. And
here,
yes, at the NFL level, I was with the Houston Oilers. It was, and the fact that all of a sudden, for the first time, and not so much this rookie minicamp, but all of a sudden, you step into this thing and you're at another level, and you understand you're at another level, and you're very proud of that, and you should be, but so are those other guys in the room, and it's you're asking yourself the question constantly, it's not am I good enough? It's like, what am I going to have to do to stay here? And that, I think, is the overriding mentality. When you sit around, you're looking around at everything new and different. Your competitive nature clicks in almost immediately, and these guys are ready to get out there and try and win a job. It's pretty cool to think about.
Yeah, it is. I love rookie minicamps. I love the opportunity for 55 guys this weekend to make an impression. Some of those guys not even under contract.
Right.
The tryout guys. I mean, talk about, you know, being under the gun here.
Throwing it out there,
you got two and a half practices to show us something if you want to do this for a living.
That's right.
That's big. That's pressure.
And all they do, man, they just sign a release, and either the club will help. If they get injured, the club will pay for their rehab and their surgeries. But they're not doing anything, you know, big time. They're not even going to full speed in anything.
No, there's no contact.
There's, you know, they wear helmets just because they want to get used to them, and it's a place where they can put their name on the front of their helmet so their coaches know who they are. But they come out here and really just with an opportunity, and they want to make the most of it.
Hey, Sean McDermott talked a lot about Tremaine Edmonds, and we're going to play that comment for you when we come back. Stick around. We're talking about rookie minicamp, which is underway. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, has some thoughts on Josh Allen. Coming up at 1:30, Mike Garofalo from NFL Network will join us. He is in town covering the Bills rookie minicamp. And then after minicamp ends, the minicamp practice ends, we're going to have interviews with, we hope, Josh Allen, maybe some of the others. So stick around. We got a lot of ground to cover today, and you're welcome to join us at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
One Bills Live, Steve Tasker along with John Murphy. We're in the middle of Bills rookie camp. We had a little chit-chat with Chris Brown out on the field in the practice field. We just got word also that my good buddy Jim Kelly walked out on the field. He's out there watching practice. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of nice to hear.
Yeah. He told you last night he was thinking about coming, right?
Yeah, he did. But I kind of couched it like, I think I want to go to practice tomorrow, but I don't know if I will. You know, so I kind of figured he wanted to go. And he's certainly up to it physically. I mean, the guy's walking around. You know, he was pouring red wine for us last night. He was, you know, so he's not flat on his back. I know that.
That's
so
cool.
It's kind of cool to see him out there.
Yeah. Hey, they're out there, the rookies, including the other first-round draft pick, Tremaine Edmonds. And before today's practice, Sean McDermott had some thoughts on Tremaine Edmonds just turned 20 years old last week. Very young first-round pick, 20 years old. But McDermott sees some signs that he seems a little bit older than 20 years old. Here's what the head coach had to say.
First of all, he comes from a great family. You know, that was evident fairly early in our process. Our scouts, Brandon and his staff, did a great job, as you've heard me say before, with the process involved in getting to know not only Tremaine, but a lot of the other drafted players. When Tremaine visited the day after the draft there with his family, it was, you know, pretty clear early on that what he comes from and what his roots are, really. So his maturity level at a young age, you know, I would go back and credit where he comes from and his support system, really. So we all saw his brother was drafted as well there. So, you know, it's a little bit unique, but my hat really goes off to his parents and his family and his support system.
Yeah, it was really interesting to me to hear that about Tremaine Edmonds and his family. I did play against his dad, Farrell Edmonds, good tight end. I might have played with him in a Pro Bowl as well. I can't remember.
I don't remember him.
I do. He was a good player for the Dolphins, you know, because we saw him twice a year. So I remember his dad playing as a good player. And, you know, talking about the kid being mature, you know, coming from a good family. I came from a pretty big family. I had three older brothers, my mom and dad. You came from a big family.
Yeah.
And I have, you know,
seven
my wife and I, we have five kids.
Yeah.
The most mature person in our family is my youngest son. He was the most mature person when he was 11. So I kind of get that a kid growing up in the right kind of family atmosphere grows up and he, you know, we're having family discussions and he chimes in and he's the most adult voice in the room. And it's kind of like, wow. Yeah. So even now he's a sophomore in college.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I would call him for advice. Right. So
I never thought of that, but you're right. In our family, and I'm one of seven, my baby sister, the youngest, is the one that everybody kind of goes to because she has always.
What do you think?
And my wife is one of seven, and her youngest sister is the same way. You'd think it'd be the other way around.
It's not.
It's the youngest who have the youngest. Best perspective.
Yeah, and they're wise beyond their years. So I'm kind of – it doesn't – the 20-year-old in the middle of your defense doesn't scare me. You think about it, too. These are just rookies out there, so he's fine with these guys. He's his – you know, you can go out there and he can play with these guys. They're his peers. On Monday, when the vets come in and all these rookies kind of jump in with them, then it's kind of committed like he's going to – you take a deep breath and go, okay. Kyle Williams is up there, and I got to tell him what to do. And then it may, just for a little bit, become a little bit of a question in his mind as to how easy this is going to be. But you talk about – so much has been thought about Josh Allen, whether he will or will not be the starter on opening day or how many starts he's going to get during the regular season or how good A.J. McCarron's going to be. But Tremaine Edmonds – I mean, for most of it, I know me and you, that guy's a rubber stamp starting middle linebacker. He's our guy.
Here's the other thing, though. He's got, I'm going to say it, he's got almost as much on his plate as Josh Allen has on his.
Yeah.
Because he's got to call the defenses. He's got to run the defense. He's got to tell 34-year-old Kyle Williams and 34-year-old Lorenzo Alexander where to line up, how to line up.
Trent Murphy. We had Trent Murphy.
Pretty strong
personality. Can you imagine you and me telling Trent Murphy to anything?
Right.
Right.
And that's in Tremaine Edmonds. That's what his job is now, or will be in a week or so. He's got a lot on his plate, and tremendous. When we tossed it to Brownie and showed a picture of him, again, he stands out as a giant out there among this group of linebackers anyway. He's got tremendous size, but – it's much more than that on Tremaine Edmonds' agenda now. It's learning the defense and then being the guy to pass along the defense and make the defensive calls. That's a lot to ask him.
And it's a totally revamped front seven. I mean, because we've been talking all through the offseason, it was a top priority. And I tell you what, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott attacked this front seven with a vengeance in free agency. Star Lotulelei, Trent Murphy came in. Those are two guys that you can almost plug them in, and they're starters. Kyle Williams, they get to come back for another year. They got Lorenzo Alexander up there. It's a veteran group of people who have, you know, done a thing or two in the league. I mean, these guys are pretty good players, and they've been around the block once. And now you got literally the youngest guy on the team.
He's the boss.
He's quarterbacking the whole thing over there, right? And plus, there's a lot of other things that go with this. Some teams do it differently. But, like, a lot of times that middle linebacker, listen, on a Thursday afternoon or a Friday morning or whatever, they get a couple of minutes apart. He's going, hey, guys, come with me. We're gonna watch this film together. I want to show you some stuff. You know, and that middle linebacker is that leader of the defense in there going, what are you thinking when I call this, what are you going to do against this front or this formation? We get this motion, what are you going to do? And he's got this clicker in his hand. Murph's looking at me. I'm doing this with my thumb because he got this.
I know.
They got the clicker at the film.
Yeah.
And he's running it back and forth again. What are you going to do if I call this and they do this? What happens? What are you thinking? And then they all got to hear what they think. So that to run a meeting like that, it's a responsibility.
He's got a lot.
Not only do you run it, you call the meeting. You go to those guys and say, hey, listen, I want to see you in the linebacker room in about 20 minutes. You know, that's a lot on a guy's plate.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch him this weekend and the weeks ahead. We're going to take a break. We come back. We got a couple of interviews lined up for the next hour. Dan Orlovsky, a dozen years in the league as a quarterback, has some thoughts on Josh Allen and some of the other quarterbacks around. And Mike Garofolo from NFL Network will join us. He's here covering Bills rookie minicamp. He'll be in here at the studio with us as well. So come on back. One Bills Live, coming to you from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Buffalo Bills are on the field as we speak. The rookie minicamp is underway. Started just about 1 hour ago. That includes the rookie draft picks, quarterback Josh Allen, and first-round linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. All of them on the field as we speak. Back on the field tomorrow, and maybe a little bit on Sunday as well. Rookie minicamp. These 3 days, then the rookies stay around for development training and start to practice with the veterans next week. The Bills have five of their draft picks under contract now. The top three still unsigned, but earlier today the Bills announced that they have signed cornerback Taron Johnson from Weber State to a contract. Johnson expected to challenge for a job as the nickel corner for the Bills. Late yesterday, the Bills announced that they signed four other draft picks. Safety Saran Neal, the fourth rounder. Guard Wyatt Teller from round five. Wide receiver Ray McLeod, the third from round six. And wide receiver Austin Prohl from round seven. Bills also have 12 undrafted free agents in camp this week. Among them, a couple of notable names, Arizona guard Gerhard DeBeer, a native of South Africa, and a couple of Alabama players, wide receiver Robert Foster and cornerback Levi Wallace, plus a number of players in on a weekend tryout for the Buffalo Bills this weekend at minicamp. He was one time considered a top contender to buy the Carolina Panthers, but Ben Navarro has been told the sale is moving in the direction of another candidate. He'd been one of two leading candidates to take over ownership of the team. The other is Pittsburgh Steelers minority owner David Tepper, now considered the leading candidate to be recommended as the next owner of the Carolina Panthers. NBA, the Toronto Raptors fired head coach Dwayne Casey today, informed this morning the most successful coach in Raptors franchise history lost his job after consecutive second-round playoff sweeps to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Casey fired with 1 year left in his contract. And last night, NHL, the Winnipeg Jets advanced to the Western Conference Finals for the first time with a 5-1 win over Nashville, Game 7 of their second-round series. The Jets host the Vegas Golden Knights in Game 1 of the Conference Final on Saturday. And you are updated on the news from around the sports world. The news from here is rookie minicamp. The news from here, our studio, our One Bill Drive studio, is our next guest. He is a former NFL quarterback for Detroit, Houston, Indianapolis, and Tampa Bay. A dozen years in the NFL playing quarterback, contributor to The Athletic, and one of the most astute commenters on quarterback play in the league going right now. Happy to have Dan Orlovsky on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Dan, it's John Murphy and Steve Tasker. And Steve was just trying to tell me a story about some match that he finished you off on the 17th hole a couple of weekends ago. What do you care to finish that story, Dan?
Conveniently, he brought that up, huh?
Yes, minutes ago.
I picked my spot, yeah.
It's true. He was up. I think he was up one going into 17 and got in trouble. It was a par five. He got in trouble on the left. He got out of trouble relatively well, but I had a pretty solid advantage, and he needed to get up and down to have the hole with me, I think, and push it to 18 from like 45 yards. Pretty tough wedge shot. He one-hopped it into the hole.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Dan, you'll probably be happy to know this. When he played here, played football here, and played golf with his teammates, he knows where I'm going. He developed a nickname. They called him Seve, after the late, great Seve Ballesteros, who also had a history of working himself out of troublesome holes. Right, Steve?
Yes, that is.
They still call you Seve, probably.
Yeah, but there are people who don't call me by my real name. That's true.
Seve, they call.
It was an impressive shot.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But that you were in the league for a long time, Dan, and we had an absolute blast a couple of weeks ago on the golf course. I'm glad we got you back on the show. We had you on April 5th before the draft. And now that the draft has shaken out and the Buffalo Bills end up with Josh Allen, you know, give us again what your take was. I know you're not that high on him. You're one of those guys that had some real doubts as to how much of his potential he could reach.
Yeah, you know, I had some legit concerns, and they were a little bit different than everybody else in the world saying his completion percentage. I do think that completion percentage is something, but I didn't see the accuracy as this really alarming issue for me. My number one thing was just I thought he just consistently showed on tape struggling to process what was going on, almost like he had no plan at the line of scrimmage and simple stuff that defenses were doing to him, whether it was a one linebacker blitz against the protection. He seemed surprised by it, and I just know that is something really difficult to understand and take to the next level when you get to the NFL, because it only becomes more detailed, more complicated, more disguised. And so I think that's going to be a big hurdle for him to jump. And my second thing was his eye discipline. You know, felt like he stared down receivers a lot, and I just know bad eyes will equal bad quarterback play in the NFL. And again, that's just not something you're going to be able to fix overnight, because coverages are more detailed and disguised more and crazier. So I understand that they took him, and he's got incredible physical talents, but physical talent only gets you so far, mainly every position in the NFL, and especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's interesting to talk about. We Lynch, you were with Tampa Bay, you were with Indianapolis, you were with Detroit, and San Diego for
Houston.
A minute. Houston, that's right. So you've been coached by a lot of different guys. I mean, you've had a lot of voices in your ear. How much credit and how much credit or how much over credit do people give a coach's ability to pull out the most in these players? I know everybody's an individual and they have different top ends, but what's your experience? I mean, you got coached by a ton of pretty good coaches around the National Football League. What's your take on how much can be coached out of him?
I think a good amount if it's the right coach. And I know that sounds like a silly answer, but you can't take a guy that goes, wow, you know, this guy's going to need some significant or legit good coaching and help to become what we hope him to be, and then just give him an okay coach.
Right.
I'll use Aaron Rodgers and put him with just an okay coach, and he's still going to be really good. But you could take a guy like Jared Goff, who you go, you know, he's probably going to need some good coaching around him to be what we want him to be. Give him Sean McVay and watch him take off. And so if you take, you know, I was in a situation down in Houston when we had Matt Schaub as our starter and Gary Kubiak was the head coach. Matt Schaub was a good player. He was. He had a four-year incredible run in the NFL because of who his play caller was. So if you can take a guy that's got some stuff and put him with a really, really special play caller, that's when you can hopefully go, man, this is what we hoped for. And then you can't just, you know, pretend that you're just going to put an okay player with an okay coach and go coach has got to get him better, you know?
We're with Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, who has thoughts on the Bills' first rounder, Josh Allen. I'm interested in your thoughts about how Josh maybe struggled to process some of the things he saw at Wyoming. And I don't know what would that be the result of, do you think, Dan? I mean, he's high score in the Wonderlic, seems like an intelligent guy. Is it? What are we talking about here? It's not. I have the feeling it's not intelligence you're referring to. It's something else, right?
No, yeah, absolutely, John. So I know a lot of people who are really smart who have zero chance of playing quarterback. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's I played with a guy, Joey Harrington, back right. in my years in Detroit, who was incredible in the classroom. On the board, phenomenal. We would get out to practice and walkthroughs, phenomenal. 7-on-7, lighted up as much as anybody in the world. Game started, and he just froze. The simple stuff that he did in 7-on-7 in practice and watching film and in the room, he could not do when football started. And so, you know, when I'm talking about processing information, I think that the biggest variable when you can get a guy to become really good in the NFL is when he steps to the line of scrimmage, he's no longer asking questions but confirming information. What I mean by that is the guys who go to the line of scrimmage go, all right, well, what's my front? Okay, all right, where's my linebackers? All right, is this covered three or is it going to be man-to-man? Those are the guys that are going to struggle with that processing because they're asking questions. Now, the guys who go to the line of scrimmage and are constantly confirming or gathering information are go, okay, I've got a three-man front. That means my backers are going to be here and that safety's down, so I'm going to get covered three. This is where I'm going with the football. And that is the person. Those are the players that are in constant control, and that's processing. And then, you know, there's no longer gray area for them standing over the football, whereas the great ones, you know, they have complete understanding of what's going on. So, you know, if I was the Bills and I've got Josh Allen, right? I took him. So it's now Daboll and McDermott's responsibility to give him the greatest chance for success. One, I'm never going to ask him for the first year. I don't care what anyone says. He does not do anything at the line of scrimmage. Nothing. Nothing. Don't ask him because it's only going to slow everything else down. Two, I'm utilizing Charles Clay as much as I can because that's going to, when I'm talking about gathering information at the line of scrimmage, I'm going to flex Clay out a bunch all over the place to gain, is it man or is it zone? And then I'm going to give him very simple, not reads, because I don't want to, again, you know, you don't want to play boring football, easy processing. So, hey, Josh, we're going to have this side of the field to the left. And if it's middle field open, cover two or cover four, we're working left. And if it's middle field closed, cover three or man-to-man, we're working right. And that's just going to be how I want to build this offense around him so the processing is minimalized and he can do it a little faster.
Can Josh Allen or any quarterback for that matter study enough film so that he gets to the point where he is confirming as opposed to asking questions?
Yes, absolutely. It doesn't happen overnight. And the biggest mistake the Bills can do is go expect them to do it in September or October. It's going to take time, it's not going to happen in 2019 either. It will take. I mean, we talk about the greats, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Breeze and Phillip Rivers and Matthew Stafford. We talk about, wow, these guys just are in constant control of the line of scrimmage and understand what's going on in every single play. They didn't get there overnight. Those guys have been doing this for 10, 12, 15 years. And so I understand that means patience, and that's not today's NFL game, but it doesn't mean it has to be for every organization. Not every organization needs to ruin and rush the young quarterback. So he can, absolutely. It just takes time, and it takes really good teaching.
We're in a conversation with our good friend Dan Orlovsky, 12-year veteran of the National Football League as a quarterback, played for a number of different teams. And I wanted to ask you about your own experiences. I know somebody asked me, I kind of remember my rookie mini camp. What did you – do you remember anything about being this young?
Yeah. I mean, I remember just everything was new. I mean, we as fans and people in this world right now, we think about, oh, it's just on the football field that's new. But everything to these kids is new. I mean, a month ago, most of these kids were on a college campus, still hanging out with their college friends. And now when they go to rookie minicamp and start the offseason, they're adults. They're in new cities with a new living situation, more money than they've ever had. They need to meet a new equipment staff. These guys have had most of the kids going to rookie minicamp have had the same people in their lives for the last 4 or 5 years. So now every new equipment staff, new training staff, new everything's just a total whirlwind of new to them. And so, you know, for the quarterbacks, this is the first time Josh Allen will throw an NFL football in competition. That's new. it may be overlooked by people, but everything is new. I just remember walking on the field going, wow, like I've got 455 things going through my head right now, and I have to go through football, you know? And so it was just there's a lot going on. I think the way teams are handling a little bit more nowadays of not going, hey, let's throw everything we can at them to see how they handle it. I think that's silly. So I think it's an important weekend for just to get them their feet wet to allow them to handle what comes next in the season. Next coming month.
Dan, yeah, on Monday, actually, the rookies will still be here and the veterans come in. And Josh Allen will walk into a quarterback room where A.J. McCarron is there and Nathan Peterman. What do you think that room will be like for the first rounder? What's a quarterback room like for a first-round quarterback?
Well, I've heard really good things about Josh Allen as a guy, as a kid. So I'm sure he's going to go in, you know, be quiet, put his hard hat on, and go to work. It's a really unique room, though, because – you've got Nathan Peterman, who a lot of people touted last year as the most NFL-ready, he can go play right now guy. He made some noise in the preseason. They benched Tyrod and put him in, and obviously things don't go well. So he's sitting there going, wait, I had one chance. I had one opportunity, and now I'm kind of thrown to the wayside. A.J. McCarron is the guy who had incredible college success, played pretty well when he had an opportunity, and so he's the free agent signing, so he's going, wait, this is my team. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be the first guy in line all the time and leading the troops and whatnot. And then you got the highly sought-after draft pick. So it'll be a really unique room. Quarterback coach would be important to get everybody to, you know, the biggest thing, first day, let me get this out in the open. We have a very clear message and understanding. This room is everybody's safe place. We respect each other. We push each other. No one is above anything. And whoever is going to be the best is going to be the best. That's the bottom line. Now, you have to say it and do it. But it'll be an interesting room for me because it's a very young room still. I mean, A.J. McCarron has started in five NFL games. So very young, right behind the ears, and it'll be really good for grooming.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the quarterback room. We've been having a conversation over the past week about quarterbacks around the league, most notably Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph. And what seemed to be kind of a rocky relationship over the airwaves through the media about how well Ben Roethlisberger is going to accept Mason Rudolph into that room. How does that change the dynamic when you've got an incumbent quarterback who was talking about retirement and then they draft a guy in the third? It's not even a first rounder, it's a third rounder, and then have the incumbent kind of say, ask, like, why would they draft a quarterback?
I mean, yeah.
Talk about that room a little bit.
It's a little silly to me. You know, Ben and I were drafted. Ben was drafted right around the same time as me. He's had a Hall of Fame career. So I find it, you know, they've drafted three quarterbacks in the last six drafts. You know, they drafted Landry Jones in the fourth round. They drafted Josh Dobbs last year in the fourth round, and then Mason Rudolph. So the organization has made a point of it. Okay, we want to continue to bring guys in. But for Ben to go like, oh, you know, this doesn't help us win, they had the highest paid offense in football last year. I mean, they're giving Ben everything he needs to go win. So for him to go, can we imagine if Carson Wentz did that to Nick Foles last year?
Yeah, right.
Man, I'm not going to help Nick Foles out. We're going to pay him $7 million to be my backup. That doesn't help me win right now. Use that money on someone else. Well, then you don't get a ring. And so my thing is, what happens if Ben goes down for 3 weeks and Mason Rudolph's got to play? You better hope you helped him, because those 3 weeks will determine if you go to the Super Bowl or not, or you go to the playoffs or not. So I would imagine the Steelers will sit down with Ben and go, hey, listen, you don't have to share every single little secret that you've got, and that's not your job, but he's one of the 53 guys. And we all know, Steve, you know, as good as anybody, at some point you need to count on every 53 and probably more. And so it's not Ben's job, but it's his teammate's duty to kind of play the part of, hey, whatever you need, just holler at me and we can figure this out, because if some point we need you, I need you to be at your best, not only for this football team, but for myself as well.
Really good point. Hey, Dan, thanks for joining us. So we appreciate it. Hope to catch up with you again soon. Steve wants another match sometime, too.
I'll have to bring some extra wedges. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, good seeing you, Dan. Thanks for coming on.
Dan Orlovsky, 12 years in the NFL as a quarterback and obviously a qualified commentator on what it takes to be a quarterback in the National Football League. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. He makes a lot of sense.
I love
his description of the quarterback room as it's got to be everybody's safe place. I think that's really insightful. You know, everybody goes in there, look, we're competing for playing time, yes, but when we get in here and we talk about what we're going to do on the field, everybody's good. Everybody's safe place. There's no
You have to have a place where, you know, the starting quarterback can go, man, that was embarrassing. You can't put me do that. I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I didn't even know what to do on this play. Well, how, you know, you got to have a place where you can be vulnerable and say, listen, I didn't know what the heck was going on. Because I, when I saw this, I thought that, and then, and I got caught. And so, you know, you don't want moments like that to get out to, you know, the local newspaper, because then everybody thinks you're inept. Well, the simple fact of the matter is every football player out there at some moment is going to be an idiot and do something stupid or make a mistake. And whether the fan sees it or not, you know, if they find out about it, they're going to think that's, that defines you. But we all know as football players, when you get in there, listen, failure on any given play isn't what defines you. The effort does, and the preparation does. So you got to be ready for it. But so you do need, I think it's, I agree with you, really insightful. The quarterback needs a place, a room, a quarterback room where he can go in and say, wait a minute, what did I miss? You know, what am I, what's going on with me? And what do you guys see? And to have guys who know what they're looking at tell him. And that's pretty important.
What do you think of what Dan Orlovsky said about what the Bills' expectations should be for Josh Allen this year? You know, he said, don't expect him to go in September and October. Don't do anything at the line of scrimmage. Don't ask him to do anything in the line of scrimmage, and lean on Charles Clay a lot to get him to help Josh Allen identify zone or man, or just the simple basic concept.
What they mean by, because of the tight end, because they don't match usually a tight end up with a DB. And you can tell if you motion the tight end down close, and really because it's the tight end, it's everything that's happening is happening in the front seven of the defense. So you can tell what happens. If somebody follows him across the formation, you know that guy's got him in coverage, so everybody else has got a guy in coverage. It's man coverage. If he goes from one side of the formation to the other and guys just kind of shift a little bit towards him, well, you know they're guarding an area of the field, not a guy. They're going zone.
Yeah.
Plus, I like the fact that, listen, don't ask your young quarterback to go up there, call the play, switch the protections, go from run to pass or pass to run, or decide on which of three plays he's going to call during his cadence by the where the safeties are aligned. You know, you don't want to put all that on his plate. Just let him go up, identify the defense, maybe pick out a linebacker, and let's go. You know, just run this play.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
And maybe hold yourself back in terms of the complexity that you someday might want to have in your offense.
Well, you don't hold it back, but you wait until he masters these simple things, and then you give him something else, and you say, okay, let's try this. And when you get to this point, we're going to do a little something different. And he'll be ready for that. When he masters that, then you put another wrinkle in, and now you're two or three steps ahead of where you began, and you've got everything up to that point mastered, and you can you proceed in a successfulness instead of trial and error.
Yeah.
And it's a better way to go. And he says a lot. Quarterbacks know how they want to be treated, and it's amazing that sometimes coaches just don't get that.
Are we ready for that development in Buffalo? Are fans ready for that, knowing that the Bills might be limited offensively if Josh Allen is starting initially, but there are better times ahead?
I think fans have to be ready for that.
Yeah.
That's the hard part for fans. You got this young guy, and you want him to be all of that, and you know he can sling it and everything. And then when they do see it a little bit simple and stuff, then they always crush the coaching staff. Yeah. You know, they go, this guy, you got to get him to throw the ball downfield.
They're predictable.
Yeah, they're predictable. Well, you know, the simple fact of the matter is, you know, that quarterback can play 100%. He's confident where he's throwing the ball. And we're going to keep doing that until we can get him to a place where he's confident doing more. So it is, and it's tough to watch, and it's where the impatience of the fan base and a coaching staff in some instances gets the best of him.
Dan Orlovsky's good. Do you have a spot for him at CBS? Are you working on something for him? Or
I think
you just want to beat him up in golf? Is that all this is?
Well, first of all, that's his first job.
To lose to you?
That's right. Secondly, yeah, I think he's putting forth an effort. He just started, and it's a different world now than when we started out in broadcasting, where you kind of intern and you kind of get a job and you do a little bit on air and then you kind of expand your role as you go. Well, now, guys like Dan, he was watching games and he goes, look at that. And they heard the analyst talking about it and he goes, well, I disagree. And he captured it on his phone, tweeted out his analysis in concise, really clear, like he did. You know, he's an articulate guy, you can tell. He did it, and people started going, hey, wow, look at that. He's right. you know, and then it went from there. Now, guys like us, we have him on our show because he really knows what he's doing. He's a 12-year veteran in the NFL, played for four different teams.
So imagine the exposure he's had to different offenses.
Yeah, he knows, he's seen a lot, and now, and he's obviously smart enough to retain it and give it back to fans in a way that they can understand. It's just a way to go.
Let's keep getting him on the show, although you might have to back off a little bit on hammering him with 39-foot chip-ins. He might not want to be around.
We were 42 yards from the pin. That's what the caddy told me.
42-yard chip.
It's the best read the caddy gave me all day. And it was a two-hopper with a trickle in. It was on a – and it stopped and trickled in. It wasn't a one-hopper.
No, we have to mention you had quite the day yesterday in the golf course when you left
After
here.
We got out, I wanted to try and sneak in some holes yesterday afternoon. Yes, I did. And I got rained on the last three holes.
And shot a –
shot in the low 70s, mid-70s.
I'm not playing with you.
Technically, it's mid-70s.
74.
Yeah.
That's,
you don't have to go. We have to have this conversation every time I come.
No, I know, but anytime you shoot, how about when you shoot in the 70s, mid to low 70s? You know what? We'll post it. We'll put a little graphic up. We'll keep track of your handicap here on the show.
Listen. Nobody cares how I can play golf.
No, you're right. Nobody cares.
But
I often tell my friends,
there's
nothing more boring than listening to somebody tell you about their round of golf.
Yeah, right? And there's an old trick, too. If they start to tell you about their golf round and how they did, go ask them how they did on 18. Because they'll tell you how they did on 18, they have no place else to go.
Yeah, start right? There.
Stops,
I like that.
That stops the story.
I like
right
that.
Then.
All right, we're getting rolling here. We're going to have more from practice when the rookie minicamp practice wraps up. Hope to hear from Josh Allen and maybe some of the others. Coming up in a moment or two, Mike Garofolo from NFL Network will join us. He's here covering the rookie minicamp. That's coming up when we come back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Back to the show, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Kasker here to three Bills rookies out on the field today, the first rookie minicamp session. And that brings some of the national media here, including our next guest, reporter for NFL Network, the co-host of Good Morning Football on the weekend. Happy to have Mike Garofolo with us. Mike, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you want to get national media out here, draft a quarterback high and and bring him out for rookie minicamp and make sure he's got a big arm, too.
Yeah. Check.
Chicks love the deep ball, right?
And I would just say, I was looking at your Twitter while you were, I assume, leaving practice. Jim Kelly walked out, huh?
No, he was out there right at the start of
the
session, right before the team session started. Jim came out saying hello to all the media out there and some of the folks out there. I mean, obviously, everybody happy to see Jim out there.
Yeah.
Would love to see what Jim thinks of Josh's first practice out there. You know, the snap decisions that everybody tends to make on these rookie minicamps. Sam Darnold fumbled his first snap for the Jets last week, and everybody freaked out about that. I said years ago, 2004, Eli Manning hit a blocking sled with his first throw at rookie minicamp, sailed over the receiver, into the sideline, hits a blocking sled. He turned out okay, so I try not to make – now, the snap decision you make out here today is that Josh Allen did not take the first snap with the team as part of the team portion. Tremaine Edmonds was not out there. They kept their guys. People said it's the guys that aren't signed yet. I said, no, that has nothing to do with it. It never has been a factor. You could always participate in rookie minicamp if you haven't signed their contract. For whatever reason, I'm going to try and find out now because the folks on the sideline don't know. They had their top picks stand on the side. They even let a rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Yeah,
Zapaticki?
No, we're having trouble
with that name. Ryan Zapaticki. That's what I'm going with. I don't know the pronunciation from Shippensburg. He's taking the first snaps out there. So
in teamwork.
You can't fumble your first snap if you don't take it, right?
Yeah, and that's right. And everything – and we had Dan Orlovsky on a minute ago. We've been talking about it. In these mini camps, and I remember thinking that as a young player, everything is life and death with your career. Yeah. The fact that I didn't take the first snap of mini camp is like, oh, man, I don't think they don't like me.
I see part of me, a big part of me.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
A big part of me thinks that may have been a message that Sean McDermott is trying to send to these guys. Like, I'm going to put a tryout quarterback out there to take the first snap because you're going to have to earn your way up, even starting now at rookie minicamp. I don't know because we got him before practice. We may not get the answer to that, but maybe a mind game. And you know what? If it is, I dig it. You're the highly drafted guy. This guy doesn't even have a roster spot. He's going to take the first snap just to send the message of how we work around here and how everything is earned.
You know what I liked, and we got a chance to watch some of the beginning sessions of today's minicamp. I love the fact that Brian Daboll, offensive coordinator, was right in Josh Allen's face. It looks like those two are going to be.
Yeah, he's coaching them.
They might as well get married. They're going to be together.
And Zapaticki, too, if that's how we're pronouncing it. I think we got to get an official pronunciation for
you. Yours is as good as ours.
Hey, listen, for all the ways people have botched my last name, which you didn't, John, I appreciate it. I understand what Mr. Zapaticki might be going through. But Daboll is right there with him every play, slapping hands. He's a high energy guy. You can see that right away with him. Here we go. You got a little bit of a right here that we're seeing on the monitor over here. He is right up in there, so you can tell he's going to be a high energy presence here for the Buffalo Bills offense.
Yeah, we also know too, he just came out of the college ranks where he's used to dealing with 21-year-olds, you know, and he's coaching them up. They got a lot to fix.
Yeah,
and I think what's going to come down to is play calling and all that. You're based in Jersey. Your local teams are the Jets, Giants. Talk to us about Gangrene. I mean, now they've got their guy as well.
Oh, the tone in that building changed from the time it took them to announce that draft pick of Sam Darnold. And they've had guys there before that they thought were going to be franchise quarterbacks as recently as Geno Smith in the second round. But
sure,
this one, I mean, the guy hasn't even gone out there and played at all, but all of a sudden there's that feeling of we've got our guy. They may be right, they may be wrong, but I mean, you saw from Todd Bowles just in that press conference afterward where he slammed the podium and made a joke about how he was great. I don't know. You never see
tomorrow,
that.
Yeah.
It was a half a joke, but it was also a little bit of, you know, that energy that they're starting to feel inside that building. I like Darnold. I do believe that for the Jets that was I heard that they really did like Baker Mayfield, so I think it may have been an interesting situation. But they understood as we got closer to the draft that it was either going to be Mayfield or Darnold, that both were not going to be on the board there at number three for them. And the fact that they went from 6 to 3 told you that they were comfortable with multiple quarterbacks and whichever one was going to wind up falling. But I do believe that they were very happy. Now, I know some other teams would have preferred a different order of quarterbacks.
Sure.
I don't know that we've ever seen a draft
that
has been this widespread as far as what's the consensus order of these quarterbacks. I think that's what makes it so fascinating, because I'm not discounting the fact that Josh Rosen might come out and be the best of the bunch, or Josh Allen here.
Okay, you've been here for a little bit today and stick around for the rest of the day. You can tell here that Josh Allen was their guy, it seems like, all along, right? I mean, they might have been able to take somebody else, but I think they were kind of focused on Josh Allen all along.
Yeah, and they knew that they were going to have to move to get him. I mean, once they got up to number 12, we knew what that was all about. And I think that they understood that a lot of the people ahead had those questions about the accuracy, which, I mean, I know it's just rookie minicamp. He looks accurate to me today as far as where he's putting the ball in relation to some of the routes that they're running. Now mix in some other things and game plan and all that stuff.
Right.
We'll see. But the step up in competition level, all these other things.
Yeah.
These were the concerns that they knew other teams were going to have. And I suppose it's a different thing when you're coming from 12 and you're moving up to get a guy versus if you're sitting at number one. I really honestly do believe that changes your perspective, because now you're at number one. You're saying, okay, we're in the catbird seat. We've got to make a call. We can't screw this up.
Right.
Who's the most safe pick, or who's the one that has the fewest flaws? Whereas if you're coming up and say, okay, we know we're going to be picking beyond a couple of teams that have quarterback, that changes things. We may be able to look past a couple of warts and see the guy for the beauty that he is and hope that he develops to the upside there.
Oh, yeah, we were neck deep in the draft coming up to, because there were so many things the Bills couldn't control. Who fell to them, who the Browns were going to take, nobody knew. Which quarterback they had ranked number one, whether Barkley was going to be in the mix or Bradley Chubb, as it was, neither one of them was. And Chubb actually was the centerpiece behind what allowed the Bills to jump up to 7 to get their guy.
Yeah.
Because if Chubb wasn't there for Denver, Denver wasn't going to trade.
And Denver, the perception was Denver was going to take Josh Allen because John Elway, big arm quarterback.
Looked
Josh
slightly.
Allen, big arm quarterback. However, and Elway has allowed his philosophy for a lot of things to evolve over the years, and I'm not saying right or wrong. He truly believes, after being through the Peyton Manning experience, that this era of playing quarterback in the league is so much more mental, so he's not just going to be wowed by the physical stuff. Again, not saying that Josh Allen is not a mental guy.
Right.
I'm just saying that if you sat there and said, oh, here's the big arm quarterback, and John Elway was the big arm quarterback, he's going to take him, he's going to love him. That's not the way that it shook out, because there's other factors at play.
You can win with different kinds of quarterbacks, and teams have been showing that. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, all of those guys are different guys, and they're a different type of quarterback. And now, and you had Peyton Manning, who couldn't,
yeah,
who really couldn't throw the football down.
Could not get it out past the numbers.
Shot putting it
in that Super Bowl,
and they won a Super Bowl
in the Super Bowl itself. Right. I said this guy can't throw to the sideline. Right. This is unbelievable. But because he was so mentally advanced compared to all the other quarterbacks in the league, that allowed. Now listen, your defense better be right, and that brings me back to this Bills team. I think that this. I'm hearing a lot of things from around the league, analysts and observers and people in the business saying, you know, I said, well, I'm going up to Buffalo. I said, well, that'll probably be the last time you're up there. They're not going to be very good this year. This defense, to me, it's so easy for people to look and say, okay, well, who's the starting quarterback? It's nobody with starting quarterback experience, whoever it winds up being. Okay, so that team's not going to be competitive. And they lost a couple of offensive linemen via retirement. Okay, they're going to struggle up front. Don't discount the fact that this is going to be a really good defensive football team. I truly believe that, especially given some of the additions that they made and the defensive mind that is Sean McDermott. I think that keeps you competitive in this league still.
We're with Mike Garofolo from NFL Network here covering Bills rookie minicamp. You mentioned Coach McDermott at the end of your comment there. These guys think, Steve and I talk to these players almost every day, they think he's a big edge for them. We think that there's something going on here. They seem to have adopted a mindset, and it's not just underdog, you know, us against the world. It's like we got a coach who knows what we're doing and knows what type of player he wants here. Do you see that at all, or is it too early to see that?
Sean is a very high character guy.
Yeah.
I've seen that from him before. There was a moment. It takes little moments for me to make judgments on people. And there's a moment that I saw before they played a playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals when he was still with the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
And you know how they clear the elevators for the coaches before the game. And so they clear the elevator and say, we got coaches coming through. And I think most of the coaches had already gone up, and he was the last one. So he comes through, and they clear the elevator, and they're looking and saying, okay, nobody else is coming, and it's just him in the elevator. And, you know, you're locked in seconds before a playoff game. And he stops and he says, I'm not just going to take an empty elevator by myself. Everybody, so it was media, sponsors, a couple of people, and everybody jammed into this elevator with 5 minutes to kick off with the defensive coordinator. And I remember that moment, and that moment stuck with me because I said, that's the kind of guy that Sean McDermott is. So he's going to want a high character type of player who's willing to put in the work day in and day out and understand what they're going to be about here. So I think that that's kind of the mold of the players that they're looking for and that they're starting to bring here. I do believe that they feel like they're starting to get the kind of players here and the roster all the way from top to bottom that he would like to have.
I think that's what they're looking for. That's what many of these players think they're getting. What are they lacking? What do you think the Bills lack now with the roster pretty much all set and still a couple months from, you know, opening day? But what does this Bills team, where do they come up short?
Yeah, so now I'm going to give you the knock that everybody else was giving about the offensive side of the ball and how is that front going to come together in front of the quarterback? Who's it going to wind up being? I know that, you know, Josh Allen does have a way to come. He's got some development here, but I truly believe he's got a shot. I mean, he can win the job. There's no question in my mind. I understand when people say, well, maybe he's the least pro-ready of the quarterbacks. So if that's the case, you know, when you make that decision, you know you're probably going to take your lumps.
Right.
You really are. Now, it's a different story with if it's A.J. McCarron, who hasn't been a starting quarterback in this league before, and Nathan Peterman only had a cup of coffee as a starting quarterback so far. So it's not like you've got a proven commodity, a Josh McCown, let's say, that the Jets have behind them as well. But when you do take that rookie quarterback and you throw him in there, you understand that there's going to be a little bit of lumps, but you're playing the long game there. So, at this point of the offseason, there are tweaks to be made to your roster, but we're pretty much seeing what things are going to be like on the offensive side of the ball. And there are questions for me, and to me, I give Josh Allen every chance in this preseason to show me that he can be ready to be a starting quarterback in this league.
You got live hits this afternoon, right?
We do.
NFL Network.
Yeah, we're going to hit a couple of them.
Several.
We're going to break it all down. I've got a play that illustrates that I saw out there that illustrates how McDermott is really going to coach up, and his coaching staff as a whole, Sean McDermott, going to coach up Josh Allen really hard. He was trying to call the receiver in. He says, no, you got to tighten your split out here. And the receiver kind of started to come in. He was hesitant, but he said, okay, the quarterback's calling me in. This is the alpha man, so I'm going to – and then Allen realizes his mistake, and he goes, oh, my. And he sends him back out. Sean blows the whistle. Josh, back in the huddle because he wants that. He wants him to understand you're running the show out here. Okay, let's back in. Let's do it from the beginning and let's do it right all the way up to the snap. He mentioned that in his press conference about how you need to be putting yourself in a position to succeed, or what was the phrasing he uses? Don't put yourself in a position to fail before you succeed. Yeah. And that was an illustration of it. So you're starting to see a little snippets of what you're going to see throughout the summer here with Josh Allen and this coaching staff.
Mike, thanks for this. Great to talk to
you. You got it, guys. Thank you for having me.
Mike Garofalo. You can see him on NFL Network. They've got 3 hours of rookie minicamp coverage on NFL Network starting at 4 p.m. today, an hour after we go off the air. So
wall-to-wall coverage.
It's okay to switch. Mike, thanks for joining us. It is John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Bills rookies coming off the field as we speak, headed to the weight room. Steve Tasker, my partner here, is going to be headed over to the inside the Pro Sports Training Center in a moment to see if you can stick a mic in front of some of those rookies. Steve.
I'm going to try to.
They're going to be, first you have to tell them who you are, and they're going to be in awe of you for the first 5 minutes.
No. First of all, ton of media here today.
Yeah.
I mean, the place is crawling with them. Secondly, they don't know or care who I am. And thirdly, I just hope I can get them to say, yeah, okay, I'll talk to you.
Just a couple of guys. We will hear from Josh Allen either with Steve or from the podium. We expect we'll hear from Tremaine Edmonds and maybe Wyatt Teller.
He's trying to get Wyatt Teller, the fifth-round draft pick, the guard out of Virginia Tech. It'll be fun to hear what he has to say.
In the meantime, let's hear from you. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. How many rookies, our question of the day, our topic of the day, how many rookies in the starting lineup when the Bills open the season in Baltimore September 9th? You can vote on our Twitter poll. You can call us up and let us know what you think. Tom on the line from West Seneca has a thought on this issue. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, John, Steve, thanks so much for having me.
Sure.
John, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that Josh Allen is going to be a starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills in their opening game. When I was looking at the quarterbacks that were eligible for the job during the draft, there's something I failed to realize, is that there's variables that can contribute to a person's, let's say not so good on accuracy. And I failed to realize that, but watching Josh Allen in practice, he impresses me. He does have a good arm. I don't know what kind of offense they're going to go with this year, but I'm a favor of the West Coast offense. Josh Allen, to me, seems to be a quick learner, and I think on opening day he's going to show that, and I think we've got an excellent chance at being 10-6 without needing anybody else's help. And I'm big on Josh Allen right now.
I can tell.
He has the right stuff.
I can tell you're big on him, Tom. Thanks.
Very nice, Tom. Thanks. I appreciate it. That's more and more. And that's just the way it is when you're a fan and your team's got a guy that you – and even if you didn't like him to begin with, you kind of grow into him. I mean, that's just the way life is. And more and more people are getting more calls now, obviously, because everybody's – either saying I kind of like him now, I didn't like him in the beginning, or saying I called it and I knew it the whole time, like you. And so,
I don't know anything.
I mean, even Jim Kelly showed it at practice today. Even him, when they picked Josh Allen, his wife Jill, bless her heart, she tweeted out, "Jim called it." I'm like, yeah, everybody's taking credit, right?
Here's Tom on the west side of Buffalo. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey guys, I've been dying to ask you this question for a long time.
Uh-oh.
As far as replacing Incognito, we need a pulling guard. That's why McCoy was going to pay him to come back. Okay? He was going to enhance his salary.
Yeah, he said he would.
Pulling guard. So can Groy do it? Or is Teller going to be the guy?
I would like to disagree, Tom, because I don't think that's what they want to do anymore. If you recall, when they started last season, they started out offensively not having that kind of offensive line play, right?
Yeah, they went to a zone scheme.
Right. And so I have a feeling that's kind of what they're going to want to do this year. Tom.
McCoy did not have success in that scheme.
Well, McCoy's not here anymore. I mean, no, Shady's here.
That's when he got his yardage.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, though, too, Tom. Don't misconstrue what Shady McCoy said to Richie Incognito is thinking that that's the only way, because he could pull, was the reason Shady did that. The thing I got out of that was that Richie Incognito was a beloved member of the locker room. He was a guy that nobody wanted to see. It was a lot like Kyle Williams saying goodbye. But it doesn't surprise me that Shady has a lot of affection for those guys last year that blocked for him and when in a year that he ran so well, particularly after the bye week when they did switch back to where they had guys pulling around. But one of the reasons they weren't successful was because the offensive line that was put together last year wasn't built. Their strengths didn't lie in coming off the ball laterally and moving up the field together and getting to the second level as a unit. Their strength lied in having guys double down and then pulling a guy around and kicking out, that kind of thing. So when they switched back to that, they became more successful. They're going to put on, and let's face it, they're putting together at least three new starters on opening day that they had a year ago to play. And it's going to be a different offensive line, probably needed. It's going to be a different philosophy as well, new offense. So to say that they need one guy at guard to do certain things, you know, I don't think so. I mean, I got to disagree with you.
You think three new starters?
Well, if you count Cordy Glenn as the opening day starter.
Okay.
Yeah, but
Dawkins started the final 11 games.
Yeah, Deion Dawkins is the left tackle and was for almost the entirety
yeah,
of
11 games.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a break here in a minute. Steve's going to head out and see if he can round up some interviews from some of these rookies as the rookie minicamp ends. But you heard Mike Garofalo say it, and Steve said it too. Jim Kelly was out at practice today, came to watch Josh Allen's first NFL practice with the Buffalo Bills, first day of rookie minicamp. The Bills Hall of Fame quarterback, just a couple of weeks removed from more surgery in New York City, was out here. I believe that's his son-in-law with him there, isn't it, Steve?
That is. That's Parker Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim getting around pretty good, it seems, and getting a good look at the rookie.
Yeah, physically he's moving around really good. He showed me last night where they had you know, taken part of his leg bone up in order to reconstruct his upper jaw, and then skin graft, and they got some things that are setting him up for success in subsequent surgeries that will happen late summer. So, you know, Jim, you're talking, he is not shy about sharing everything that happened to him, It'll make you cringe, some of it, because it was extensive and very complicated, the surgery he went through. I had surgeons who have friends who perform these type of operations. It is complicated. It was a really long process. And now he's up, running around. He was showing us pictures of post-surgery right after he got out. I'm like, dude.
No, thanks.
That's why we all love it. You can't embarrass him. He's the best. He's the absolute best. Man, he shares everything. And he has no secrets. I mean, the guy's amazing. He comes out to practice here, and I'm sure, you know, those young players, they don't know who he is. And I think, man, if I'm going to look like that when I'm in my mid-50s, I'll give it up.
I consider Jim one of the most generous people. And that goes to your point about sharing everything.
Yeah,
he is among the most generous people I've ever come across.
He is a treasure for this community. He really is. He's a treasure of a human being. He's almost community property. He's just an amazing guy. And for what he's been through and how he shared it with all of us and what he's done to turn the tragedies that have happened to him in his adult life into positive things, he's an inspiration to everybody. So great to see him out there. He looked great. He like I say, walks around like nothing's wrong. And he's still got a little bumpy road ahead of him, but it's good to see him.
That's a nice little side issue to today's opening of rookie minicamp. Steve's going to head out. You can see him getting ready.
This is an experiment at best.
We're going to head out and try to talk to some of the rookies, including Josh Allen, in the third and final hour of the show. You want to come back and see that. We got 1 hour to go. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where Bills rookie minicamp is winding down. Players have just come off the field. Now they are lifting for a while, and they'll meet with the media. The Bills rookies, about 55 rookies and first-year players, including all 8 draft picks and about a dozen undrafted rookie free agents and some players here on tryout status. about an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes on the practice field outside the AdPro Sports Training Center today after meetings, and they'll do it again tomorrow. Also, a visitor at Bills rookie minicamp today, Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly on the sidelines watching Josh Allen in his first NFL practice with the Bills. Bills getting the work done on the business side as well with the five of their draft picks signing contracts already. Earlier this morning, cornerback Taron Johnson from Weber State, the cornerback who may wind up as Buffalo's nickel corner, he agreed to terms on a contract. The fifth member of the draft class to agree to terms. Late yesterday, the Bills announced that four others had signed, including fourth-round pick Saron Neal, fifth-round pick Wyatt Teller, sixth-round pick Ray-Ray McLeod, and seventh-round pick Austin Prohl. 12 undrafted rookie free agents signed to the roster announced by the Bills today, including guard Gerhard DeBeer, a native of South Africa from Arizona, and a couple of Alabama products, wide receiver Robert Foster and defensive back Levi Wallace, part of the crew on the field for the Bills today. Dallas Cowboys defensive tackle Malik Collins suffered a fractured bone in his left foot yesterday. Sources say he is set to have surgery. Second time in 5 months that he would have surgery on his left foot. From the NBA, the Toronto Raptors have fired head coach Dwayne Casey. Most successful coach in Raptors franchise history, lost his job after consecutive second-round playoff sweeps, losses to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Casey has 1 year left on his contract worth $6 million. And the Winnipeg Jets advance to the Western Conference Finals for the first time. The Jets beat Nashville last night 5-1 in Game 7 of their series. They'll host Vegas, the Golden Knights, Game 1 of the Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, on Saturday. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy here. Steve Tasker standing by out in the AdPro Sports Training Center, getting set to interview some of the rookies on the practice field for the Buffalo Bills today. Sean McDermott met with the media earlier today, and McDermott said, among other things, it's important that the Bills keep it simple for the rookies on the practice field this weekend. He said, we got to keep it simple with these guys, first exposure to NFL football. That was part of the goal today, first day, just to keep it simple, not to put too much on their plate. And McDermott, bringing the team off the field, said that was one of the critical aspects, especially of this first day. Now, let's take your phone calls. Let's go to Dick in Depew. Hello, Dick. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I got a business question rather than the football itself.
Okay.
I was unable to make it to the Speaker Series meeting last week, and I understand that the Jim Kelly, Van Miller, and Paul McGuire clubs are no longer in existence, and also the quarterback club has been melded in with the Bills organization.
Yeah, I think that's true, Dick. Yep.
Well, what are they doing? Selling the names for the club or for the club?
Yeah, I think the plan is to get sponsorships for the those three clubs. The clubs actually are being totally renovated. The former Jim Kelly Club, Van Miller Club, and Paul McGuire Club, total renovation. That's ongoing now. The construction crews have been over there for months. And when they come out of it, ready for the season, they will have, I believe, corporate sponsors on each of those clubs. So that's what's going on with that. The quarterback club, the old Monday quarterback club, is now the Bills Speaker Series. I think it's like about four or five events per year. We did one last week. I did one with Sean McDermott recapping the draft. They'll do one at training camp, probably a couple of others as the season goes along. I've done two of them. One last, I want to say it was December, maybe it was January, at the Buffalo Historical Museum with Thurman Thomas. But they try to do four events per year in the Bills Speaker Series. I believe that's the plan.
I was sorry I missed you last week then because I couldn't make the meeting.
Yeah, it was a good session. Coach McDermott was great.
I had stuff from McDermott to sign, too. So, okay, I just wanted a clarification. Because
okay,
I,
thank you.
And everything, I want to get it from the horse's mouth.
Thanks, Dick. Let's go to Bob in Orchard Park. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Yeah, Murph.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Glad your show's unbelievable.
Thank you.
Now, I have this is a comment that I got from a cardiologist. I heard the question yesterday, but I was in his office, and the cardiologist is really up on football, too, like he is hearts. But we both said that Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, have got to be geniuses.
Geniuses?
And yes. And since Polian left, Brandon Bean is the next best thing ever that happened to the Bills. Hmm. Reason being, he had a theory, and I agreed with him. They got Josh Allen, right?
Right.
They leaked something, had to, about this when he was a 15-year-old kid. You know, to the papers, whatever.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think they leaked those teenage tweets from Josh Allen to what? Push him down in the draft? I don't think they would do that.
So that nobody, couple people who wanted him, a couple shows back, you told me that they said, geez, we would have took Josh Allen. Who was that?
Arizona. The report was the Cardinals were heartbroken that they couldn't get to Josh Allen. They couldn't get to him because the Bills moved up and got him at number 7, right? Arizona was sitting there at 10. Okay, thanks for your call. I was trying to say earlier, Sean McDermott met with the media today and talked about how his goal going into this weekend was to keep it simple, to keep it basic for the rookies as they make their way through the rookie minicamp. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, we keep it fairly simple just so they can come out, and that's, again, for two reasons. So they can come out, get acclimated to what we're doing, but also so that we can evaluate them playing at top speed through the weekend here, to inundate them with a lot of scheme, a lot of volume, Vic, wouldn't be, you know, in their best interest, and because of that, in our best interest from an evaluation standpoint.
Sean McDermott talking about how the goal is to not put too much on their plate. They'll have another practice probably, I would guess, a little bit longer tomorrow and more classroom meeting work tomorrow. And then I believe they're on the field Sunday, although it might just be classroom session on Sunday. And then they stick around. Their plan is for the rookies to stick around for a while, to go through rookie development camp and get on the field with the veterans starting next Monday. It is another week of the off-season conditioning program, phase two, which is offense on the field, defense on the field, no work against each other, obviously no contact, no plays against each other, but a lot of work on the field, and I think the rookies stay around for that. The Bills have their draft picks on the field today, even the top three, the unsigned draft picks, Harrison Phillips in the third round, and of course Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds in the first round. They practice today, and they also announced today that they've signed a dozen undrafted rookies to compete this weekend. They also have players in for tryout camp. As far as the undrafted rookies, Sean McDermott was asked today, are you looking to be surprised by some of them? Is that the goal, to get into these off-season training sessions and wait for one of the undrafted rookies to jump out at you? Here's what the head coach had to say.
Yeah, that's really what we look for. It's what we're looking for this weekend is who slipped through the cracks and maybe for what reason in terms of whether it's athletic ability or intelligence. That's an overlooked area as well. It's important to have athletes, but we also look for the football IQ that goes along with the athleticism and whatnot. So, that's what we're looking for. You find those from time to time. Our scouting staff, I believe, does a great job. And so we've got a number of guys that we're going to take a hard look at this weekend with that in mind.
Yeah, and it's funny, my experience has been that guys, undrafted guys who make the team, and typically there's one or two, maybe even more from time to time, none last year for the Bills, but typically they start to make their move in the spring, not necessarily wait until August at training camp to make a move. Sometimes it happens in the springtime when they make a name for themselves and everybody's like, oh, let's get training camp and see how they look at training camp when the tempo is picked up a little bit, when there's a little bit more going on. McDermott talked about Josh Allen, obviously. He was asked about Josh Allen, who just wrapped up his first rookie minicamp practice with the Bills. First-round draft pick, 7th overall. Sean McDermott was asked, what are you looking for from Josh Allen this weekend at rookie minicamp? Here's what he had to say.
Similar to the rest of the players, I'm looking for Josh and the other players to come out and get a feel and a comfort level for how we do things in our program. Not only on the field, but off the field as well, and what it means to be a Buffalo Bill, and the standard that we've and our players have created over the last year, and really acclimate himself and themselves to that standard as quickly as they can.
So, point being, if he misses a pass today, is inaccurate or something, how much of that are you weighing on your mind versus just being a learning?
Oh, the whole, yeah. Listen, we embrace, you've heard me say before, and whether it's Josh or anyone else on our roster or this weekend, is we embrace that growth mindset. And we believe in learning on the job. And so there's going to be, if you take that approach of continual improvement, it's been shown over the years that you'll end up where you're trying to end up, or at least closer to where you're trying to end up in terms of your goals. Anyone coming in here this weekend and that includes me, we are not where we need to be. And you can say the same thing for our roster of guys right now as well. So there's a big gap between where we are and where we're trying to go. And that's why we stress so much the process around here and what goes into where we're trying to get to.
Sean McDermott, and I recall almost similar comments to the word from Sean last year. I didn't know what he meant last year. Now I know what he means when he talks about the growth mindset. In fact, there was a point last year when I asked him, what are you thinking about when you say a growth mindset? What are you looking for? I think I understand now. And I think McDermott, among the many good things that happened last year, I thought one of the best things was he didn't rush things. He wasn't looking to beat, to win on opening day in May. It wasn't about some sort of false sense of urgency. It was like, we have work to do. We have time to do it. And I think that's that approach that serves this group well and did last year, in fact, did serve them well. All right, Steve Tasker is out in the Ad Pro Sports Training Center waiting to talk to some of those rookies. They came off the field about 15, 20 minutes or so. They're in the weight room lifting as we speak. And, Steve, I would imagine those rookies are going to be out there with you momentarily, right? They got to be wrapping things up after practice today outside.
Yeah, that's the plan, Murph. They're going to come out. They're in working out now. They're right off the edge of the field here in the weight room. And it'll depend what happens next. They're on a tight schedule, which is why we're kind of standing out here in limbo waiting on them, because they're moving from one thing to another. They've got a special teams meeting coming up just at the top of the hour. They've got to do this lifting, and they've got some media responsibilities, which we're a part of. If Josh Allen comes out first, he's going to go straight to the podium and talk to the mass of media reporters that are here. And if Tremaine Edmonds comes out first, he'll go to the podium, and we'll get Josh Allen after Tremaine Edmonds comes out. And we'll get Josh Allen on with us live. If it works in the reverse, we'll take Tremaine Edmonds live and wait for Josh Allen, get him after he does his podium visit. So, and then we'll also try and get to Wyatt Tellers as well, the guard out of Virginia Tech. So these guys are they're in there moving around the weight room. You can hear them in there working out. It's a typical thing you'd see, but it's just one thing after another. These guys are on a tight schedule today. They just got finished with practice, went straight to the weight room in their practice gear and started working out again. And we kind of wait in limbo for them to get to that point in the schedule where they fit their media responsibilities in.
One of our production assistants, George Blass, wanted me to make note to you that they also have to fit in lunch during this 45-minute segment here. Very critical. George's mind.
Yeah, really critical for hungry little boys, right? So, they've got everything scheduled out. I know they've got a special teams meeting at 3:15, and as you and I saw today, Murph, the first thing they did when they got on the field as a Buffalo Bill was a special teams drill.
Yeah.
They had them out here in a walkthrough, going through punt team about releases as a gunner on the outside, and I don't know why I noticed that, but I did. So
I know why.
They ran them through about an hour-long walkthrough on punt team, punt return.
Yeah.
And I think it's telling, too, that I don't think they'll do too much kickoff stuff here because they don't know what a kickoff's going to look like
right
in the NFL this year.
Hey,
so
Steve,
they kind of stayed away from that, and they stuck straight with punt return. Go ahead.
I want to run something by you that I was talking about right before we came to you, and it dealt with the you were there. Sean McDermott was asked today what his plan is, what he hoped to see from Josh Allen this weekend. And his answer, I will paraphrase here, his answer, he talked about how, it's a process, obviously. He has a lot to learn, like the rest of us. We're going to try to get better every day. And I thought to myself, that's exactly the mindset that McDermott had last year. Last year, I wasn't sure what he meant, but I saw last year what he means. He's very big on, and I'll put it this way, not rushing to opening day. In other words, McDermott understands they have a lot of work to do, but he also understands that here on May 11th, he's got a lot of time to do it. We're 4 months away from the season opening. Yes, you want to see Josh Allen. You want to see him play well, but it's more important for him to kind of buy into the process, to apply himself to the work now and not worry about what the results look like. Do you agree with that, and do you see what I mean about McDermott's sort of meticulous planning to, take advantage of the 4 months between now and opening day on September 9th?
Absolutely, because, that what happens, Murph, is there is a ton of work to be done. And we started today with they're just finding their way around the building. But I think there's no question you want to see the mindset of the guys that you brought in, these young players. You kind of got to know them in the draft process. You tried to really get to know them. But let's face it, even the draft pick themselves, they weren't really to divulge who they were. They were in a job interview. They wanted to be their best and brightest for the interview process, for their media responsibilities. When they got asked questions, they wanted to have the right answers. And in this situation here, they don't have any of the answers. They've got to come up with a mindset and an attitude to attack the day and win the day every day here as a member of the team. They've got to do what they're asked to do, and they've got to do it in a way that gets better all the time and with an appetite to get a bigger depth of knowledge, an appetite to learn, and an appetite to improve. And also, for the first time, you got a guy like Brian Daboll. We saw it on the first moments that they were on the practice field. You got to have a coach in your face now. He doesn't care if you're a high round draft pick. He doesn't care if they're gonna, you know, if you're worried about them drafting you. He's gonna coach you up, and you got to handle it. You got to know what's gonna happen when they say, "Hey, you're doing this wrong, or you're doing this right, or keep doing it, and I want you to improve." Or, you know, what? Why do you do this? You know, when you get questioned and when you get confronted with maybe something you don't do too well, how are you going to handle it? And I know this, a lot of NFL coaches and assistant coaches around the National Football League, they'll come up to you after one practice, two practices of a very serious nature, and they'll say, "I know that guy's going to be good," or "I know that guy's going to be good." I had a guy years ago for the Buffalo Bills come up and said, "I knew from the first 20 minutes of practice which of these two defensive linemen was going to play be a good player." And the one he said was going to be a really good player turned out to be Kyle Williams. Hmm. And he was a fifth-round draft pick. So these coaches know for the first time now what they really have in these guys, and there's no doubt that they're ready in their own minds to give them a thumbs up, thumbs down on the day they had today.
John Murphy in our One Buffalo studio. Steve Tasker's in the at Pro Sports Training Center awaiting the rookies. They're going to come out of the weight room and do some interviews. Steve will lock in with some of them, maybe even Josh Allen in the next couple of minutes. Steve, take a phone call or two with me if you would. John in Burlington, Ontario is on the line. Hi, John. Go ahead. John in Burlington, Ontario.
Yes, yeah.
You're on the air, John.
Yes, hello, John. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. Sorry, I thought I was on before.
Sure.
Anyway, what I wanted to ask was, and maybe I missed this part, because I've been in there with the truck a few times this afternoon, but I'm wondering about the numbers. 55 players, rookies on the field today. What did you end up with the final number for the draft pick, about 9 or 10?
There were 8 draft picks this year.
Eight draft picks. Okay, so that's 8. And you mentioned 25 tryout guys. That's 33.
Well, yeah, don't hold me to these numbers. I'm adding them up as we go along here, but go ahead.
Okay, well, yeah, just wondering. I seem to be short about 20 players. And are these guys like maybe walk-ons? Is that part of the number? Or?
Well, the tryout players don't count on the roster. They won't count. I mean, they're just looking – I'll be honest, 100%, these tryout guys, they're just trying to get enough guys to run plays here, right?
Yeah, sure.
So they don't count against any 90-man roster limit, right, Steve?
That's correct. The guys that are tryouts, they don't have a contract. Josh Allen doesn't have a contract. Tremaine Edmonds doesn't have a contract. These guys don't count across any roster. They could count as much for the Detroit Lions roster as they do for the Buffalo Bills. The fact that they're playing running around in Bills uniforms is irrelevant. These guys are just trying to win and earn a contract offer from the Buffalo Bills to go to training camp. So the roster has nothing to do with the 55 or 50 guys they have here today, because there's only about, four of the draft picks have been signed, 5 of the draft picks have been signed. The rest of these guys, some of these guys are undrafted rookie free agents who have signed contracts, no question. But for the bulk of the people here at this training camp don't have contracts. They're here to try out. They're here to get comfortable and have this coaching staff say, you know, I like that guy. Let's see if we can – let's give him a contract. Let's bring him to camp. And this is really the first step toward really all these guys trying to make the team. This isn't even trying to make the team. This is just trying to impress the coaching staff, because they're not even on the roster quite at this point.
So let me give you what I got here. And it's a legitimate question, John, in Burlington, Ontario. But from what I can tell, you got 29 players in here on a tryout basis, 8 draft picks, 12 undrafted rookie free agents – and that adds up to 49 players, and then they have about 5 other players. You have 5 other players who are not rookies. They're just filling out spaces. Veterans have been around. Malachi Dupree, first-year player out of LSU, who they signed back in January. Ricky Hatley from Missouri, a defensive end. Marquavius Lewis, a first-year player who was around last year a little bit. So that adds up to 54. I got 54. Now, they're going to, at the end of this weekend, decide which, if any, of those tryout players they want to bring back next week, and then they should have somewhere around 90 players, I would think, next week.
Okay, thanks, guys. That explains the question.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to Jim in South Buffalo. Hello, Jim. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi, Murph. How you doing?
Good.
I'm kind of going on the same question that he had. I was just wanted to know about the quarterback. Quarterback they had in there today?
Yeah, from Shippensburg. I don't know anything about him. The first time I saw his name was about 9:30, 10 o'clock this morning. Ryan Tabaticki from Shippensburg, 6 foot, 225 pound rookie.
6'2", 225?
No, 6 foot. 6 foot even.
225.
Yeah. Josh Allen immediately took him down on the low post and tried to post him up. Right, Steve? Use that height advantage.
Yeah. It was, he's, Josh Allen. Yeah, Josh Allen looked like he was on a different level, both vertically and physically. I mean, that a kid from Shippensburg coming in, though, there's no question he probably had a really nice career there, and he knows, and they've seen him on film enough to say, hey, this guy.
Try him out.
They know him. They have seen him on film, and they want to give the guy a tryout. And even as we say this, Merv, guys are starting to trickle out of the weight room, so we may get a chance to talk to one of these guys in the next minute or two. Stick with it, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, we'll get back to you in a second. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, Zapaticki, don't know much about him. Played at Shippensburg. He's a native of Dallas. I'm just looking him up as we speak. And look, and again, not to be crass, but you need more than one arm this weekend. You can't have Josh Allen take every snap. And so I'm sure they look at Zapaticki as an arm, a camp arm. And in his place, he's got an opportunity here this weekend to show that, hey, you might need a fourth arm when you get to camp and at the end of July. So a guy like Ryan Zapaticki takes the opportunity to go to a tryout session with the Bills this weekend, hoping that he does well enough that they're thinking, because of the number of snaps we want to take at camp, we probably need a fourth arm. Maybe Ryan Zapaticki is the guy. Shippensburg State, the second quarterback here this weekend. All right, Steve Tasker is standing by outside in the AdPro Sports Training Center. We're going to get back with him, see if he can line up some of the rookies to talk to. Hope to hear from Josh Allen after his first minicamp practice with the Bills. We've got more to come. Stick around. It's One Bills Live. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy in our One Buffalo studio. Steve Taxer's inside the AdPro Sports Training Center where he's talking to Bills rookies. We're going to hear from some of those interviews coming up in a minute or two. Want to hear from you. What do you think? How many rookies in the starting lineup for the Bills on opening day in Baltimore, September 9th? That's our Twitter poll, and that's been up since, noon today? I think it's a pretty good Twitter poll. How many rookies will be in the starting lineup for the Bills? 0 to 1, 1 to 2, or 3 or more. Right now, 56% of you say 1 or 2 rookies in the starting lineup on opening day. 35% of you say 3 or more. That's a lot. 0 to 1, 9% of you say that. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to a call from Glenn. Glenn, where are you calling from? Hello, Glenn, you're on the air with us. Where are you calling from, Glenn? Glenn, are you there? Yes, Glenn, get on the phone, man. Talk to us.
Hey, I'm just asking, this is Glenn from the Blue Wall. I was just wondering, out of the undrafted rookies we've signed this year, which one do you think has the best shot?
Okay, I have to pick today because they've only had one practice day, but if you ask me who has the best shot of making the roster, Glenn, I would think cornerback Levi Wallace from Alabama is going to be heard from. Because you can always use corners, and he played, obviously, at a very high level. I would think the wide receiver, Robert Foster from Alabama, who played for Brian Daboll at Alabama, I think teams are going to look at him. I'm interested in the running back, Keith Ford from Texas A&M. I think he might have something to offer. I'm interested, just because of his background, in the guard, Gerhard DeBeer from Arizona, the South African native. Those would be maybe the top four. Ike Betker from Iowa, I think, has something to offer. There's some interesting names there, and I don't know them intimately, obviously, and they just had the one practice. I plan on seeing a little bit more of the rookie minicamp later this week and then keeping an eye on practice as we move forward just to see, to answer that question in more depth. But those would be the ones I would think would have a pretty good shot, anyway at making the roster. We'll see. One practice in, they'll do it again tomorrow, and maybe we get more evidence in the days ahead. On Twitter, there's a couple of interesting tweets. Gregory J. Tweets in, apparently the only people that call One Bills Live are 84 years old. That's not true. That's not true. Douglas Briggs Jr. on our question about rookies, which one, how many rookies in the opening day starting lineup? Douglas Briggs Jr., I think the staff sees more in Ray-Ray McCloud and Ricky Prohl than we know. There was better talent on the board at wide receiver at the time of their picks. I was one of them starting opposite of Benjamin. I'd seen one of them starting opposite of Benjamin. Really, Prohl or McCloud? Okay. And I see everyone but Allen, Neal, and who wins between Prohl and McCloud starting. Oh, wow. That's a lot of rookies. Harrison Phillips, a starter. I think he'll be an important part of the rotation on the interior defensive line. I don't know if he'll actually be a starter. I guess we're going to have to consider the fourth-round pick, Taron Johnson, as a starter when he gets in the lineup as the nickel corner. But we'll see. I would guess one or two rookies starting, I would think. Let's see. Buffalo Love, 1914, talking about Josh Allen. He still needs to talk to his teammates, ASAP rookies, as soon as possible, rookies and vets. I'm still rooting for A.J. McCarron till then. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. Psychotic tweets and keywords are starting lineup. The only one I can see starting right now is Edmonds. Phillips will be in a rotation between Kyle and Starr. Johnson could be nickel. Allen sits this year, maybe, maybe not. Wyatt Teller could also happen. The rest are depth. That's a lot of starters. Okay, Wyatt Teller standing by right now with our man. Steve Tasker, let's go out to the AdPro Sports Training Center where Steve is standing by. Steve?
Thanks, Murph. I am here with Wyatt Teller. Wyatt, tell us, give us a first impression, first day. I know you guys, I talked to Tremaine Edmonds. You said you got a little early start this morning.
Yeah, early start. It was a beautiful day. We got to enjoy the sun, got a little bit of a suntan, and it was a great day.
How do you feel? I mean, you came in as one of the draft class, in this year's draft class with Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, and, Harrison Phillips, all these guys. Yeah. Have you had a chance to get to know them, sit down and talk with these guys, or spend any, kickback time, or has it all been in meetings and pretty serious?
Yeah, it's all been pretty serious in meetings, but I'm actually rooming with Harrison Phillips, so I got to talk to him a little bit last night. Obviously, as Josh is our quarterback and working with him a little bit, I got to talk to him and, been close with Tremaine for all the time we've been at Tech, so been a pretty good time just talking to everybody.
Tell us a little bit about your first impressions of the coaching staff and the offensive side that they're trying to install.
Intense, man. It's truly a change of culture. I mean, obviously, we had Vol-Tech, it was a very intense coaching staff, but it's also great here. It's the same thing, and it's nice, but it's a change of culture just because it's a new step.
One of the things that grabs guys when they're young, like you, and I remember when I was a rookie as well. You come in and everything's kind of condensed because they only got 50 guys. They got Vol-Tech. They had 120 guys. I mean, it's a little more intimate, is it not?
It is. It's a lot more intimate time with the coach and talking to him, and it's. A lot more focus on the little things, so it's good stuff.
Talk to us a little bit about the philosophy here, like with their offensive line playing Coach Castillo and what they have planned as opposed to what you did in college.
It's a lot of the same things that we had at college, toughness, effort, attitude, finish, all these tough words, all these strong words. So, it's kind of the same thing, but, it's the intensity. It's faster, it's a more intense game. So,
talk a little bit about what your personal goals are. I mean, you got to have some sort of idea about what you want to accomplish. I certainly want to make the 53-man roster. Yeah. But I think a guy like you, you're kind of thinking you want to be one of the five guys that line up in front of the quarterback and play for 16 games a year every year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to come in time, but the biggest thing is right now is to come in and compete, make the guys in front of me better, and if I get a chance, take it.
Wyatt Teller, fifth-round draft pick of the Buffalo Bills. Murph, we'll go back to you guys in the studio.
All right. Thank you, Steve Tasker. Wyatt Teller, big guy. I knew he was big, and I know Steve's size too, but it's impressive to see him there. Watched him a little bit in the morning workouts today. Wyatt Teller, Buffalo's fifth-round draft pick. He looks the part of a big interior offensive lineman, 6'4", 314. Could be a starter. Some people think he would be a starter. We'll see. First-round draft pick Tremaine Edmonds had a chance to talk with Steve Tasker coming off the field today. Let's send it back out to Steve as he stands by with Buffalo's second pick in the draft, the first-round linebacker from Virginia Tech.
Thanks, Murph. I'm here with Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine, talk to me a little bit about what your day's been like. I know it got an early start this morning.
Yeah, so kind of got an early start. Just been at it all day. Came, ate breakfast, and went straight into meeting. So it's been pretty good.
Talk to us a little bit about the vibe. You get an early first impression about what the culture's like, what the feeling's like, how the coaching staff, their temperament. Tell us a little bit about your first impressions of the coaching staff.
Yeah, good. I like all of them, and I think today was pretty good. A lot of guys out there flying around. And, it was a good first day, I would say.
Now, I know it's just in shorts and helmets and, it's just kind of a walk-through, kind of a jog-through kind of thing. But talk to us a little bit about the philosophy of the defense. This coaching staff, they have a reputation now, a growing reputation for getting guys that will fit in their system. Yeah. How do you think you'll fit?
Just come in and earn my role, and earn my spot to play. And I think that's the number one thing, just come in, competing with some of the older guys and competing with the guys around me and just come in and, like I said, man, just earn my role and earn my way up.
Yeah, we were talking before we went on camera. Yeah, I played against your dad.
Yeah.
And Sean mentioned your family in this morning when he was asked about how much a mature guy, a young guy, can go in, step into a huddle and like, hey, come in. And he said, you're a little mature because you come from such a good family. Talk about how your dad affected you and his career. Obviously, it was probably, you were really little when he played, but yeah. Talk a little bit about how your dad's helped you in your journey.
He's just been with me every step of the way. My whole family's been like that, my mom as well, and also my brothers. So, I take a little bit of what they say, try to incorporate it into my game, into my everyday life. And, just try to live up to, how they play the game and how they go about themselves. Because, I admire everybody in my family. So just try to take a little bit from everybody and just move forward like that.
Talk a little bit about the other your classmates in here with Buffalo, guys like Harrison Phillips and Wyatt Teller and those guys, the other draft picks. Did you get a chance to interact with them at all before you met them in person today?
I went to Virginia Tech. So I went to Virginia Tech, and some of the other guys I've been talking to them too. So everybody seemed like they're good people. Excited to be on the same team as them and getting this thing started.
So you and Josh, you're going to be like joined at the hip theoretically for your whole career. That's the plan, right? You guys get drafted the first round together. You look like you could be pillars of this franchise for a long time to come. Have you guys talked about what you'd love to accomplish here in Buffalo?
No, we haven't. Not yet, at least.
Talk a little bit about what you expect when the veterans show up on Monday. How do you expect things to change?
I don't expect them to change. I know it'll be a little bit different just because, I've been with the guys that have been here for a while. But like I said, man, just come in and just be willing to learn from them because, those guys that have been here, guys that I could learn from, guys that, I could take my game to another level. So respect them and like I said, just get this thing rolling some more.
Tremaine, congratulations on your first-round pick. Congratulations on being a Buffalo Bill, and good luck. Thanks for joining us. All right, there you go, Murph.
All right, Steve Tasker, thank you very much. We hope to get back to Steve one more time as he continues to talk to some of the rookies out there. In our Twitter poll today, at the first day of rookie minicamp, how many of those rooks do you think will be in the starting lineup on opening day against the Baltimore Ravens? Go to Twitter to vote or give us a call. Lines open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. We've had the Twitter poll up since noon, getting pretty good response to it with 55% of you saying they're going to be one or two rookies in the starting lineup. We've got almost 700 votes in. 36% of you saying there'll be three or more rookies in the opening day starting lineup, and just 9% saying zero or one. I'd vote one or two, and I would kind of lean towards two, I think. I think for sure, if you ask me, I would go Tremaine Edmonds is going to be a starter. And I would think between Josh Allen or Wyatt Teller or maybe Harrison Phillips, that would be the second one. But we'll see. Anything could happen. You don't know how they break camp, who's playing well at camp, who's healthy when they get out of camp. We're just kind of speculating now on this first day of Bill's rookie minicamp. Pretty big day. You can tell by the number of media here. There were a lot of media folks, including our guest a couple of minutes ago, Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. National media here, a lot of local media here. You would think Josh Allen's first day at quarterback for the Bills would be the main reason for that. Allen got in some throws. We saw some of those earlier on the show today. He also got a chance to meet with Jim Kelly, who was here watching practice. We're going to break here, and we come back. We hope to have Josh Allen with Steve Tasker. So come on back for that as we work through this hour, the final hour of the show. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker coming to you on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Steve's out in the field house. We're going to check with him in a moment or two as the Bills rookies come off the field. Rookies reported first thing in the morning today. They got into the meeting room. They had a little walkthrough session. A lot of special teams work, it seemed, in the walkthrough session this morning. And then right at noon, out onto the field, the grass practice field outside the AdPro Sports Training Center for the first session. Bills veteran, former quarterback, Hall of Famer Jim Kelly, an interested sideline visitor today. Got a look at Josh Allen and his first day, and those two talked a little bit. And Josh Allen got a chance to meet a Bills Wall of Famer, our own Steve Tasker, who is standing by right now with first-round draft pick Josh Allen inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. Take it away, Steve.
Thanks, Murph. I am here with Josh Allen. Josh, give us a – I just got to ask you, first day, a lot going on, busy day. Tell us about your first impressions.
You know, first impressions were we got a lot of good dudes, you know, in this camp. You know, I'm excited to be around these guys and get to throw some of these guys and, you know, see how these guys operate and how these guys work. So, overall, I thought it was a really good day. You know, we went out there, we flew around. Defense was flying around to the ball. They were making plays. We were making plays. You know, it felt good being back out there again.
The most comfortable you felt all day, I would imagine, would be on the football field. The rest of it, it's all brand new, correct?
Exactly. And that's the key thing. We wanted to get back on the football field and throwing the ball to some dudes out there. It just felt good, felt natural. You know, it's doing what I love to do.
We just got a glimpse of it early on in the practice. As soon as you get out there, Brian Daboll's out there, and he's one of those. Describe him. He seems like he's a coach that coaches hard.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He's enthusiastic. He's been around some of the greats of the game. He knows what he's talking about, so anything that he says, yeah, I'm going to take that and run with it and try to be as moldable as possible for him just because of who he's been around, who he's coached, and what he knows in this league. So extremely blessed to play for a guy like him.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the vibe. You're starting to get exposed to the offense and what he's going to ask you to do. And I would imagine, you know, you being a first-year player, they're going to ask you to do maybe a little less, maybe a little more. Who knows? But give us your impressions about what this offense is right now and what your role in it is and how it looks to you, what they're going to ask you to do.
You know, my role is just trying to learn it, you know, trying to improve every day. Got to go out there and earn the right to be on this team. So whatever he's telling me, any concepts that he's putting in, I got to, you know, learn and grasp quickly and go out into the field and, you know, put it out in the field and execute. So as a quarterback, that's our job, you know, to move the ball and put points on the board. So, my job right now is just to learn and compete.
Yeah, you come in, it's just rookies out here. Some of these guys, well, like you haven't signed any yet. And Monday, and then the old guys come in, and, you know, those guys. How's that changed the dynamic? I know, have you crossed paths with A.J. McCarron yet? Have you guys had a conversation?
Yeah, we've had a conversation or two. I'm here to learn behind him, and just trying to learn how an NFL quarterback handles himself on a daily basis. So he's been around this league for a while now, so any time I can learn from him, I'm going to do that.
What's this organization under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, and they've kind of developed a reputation for having a really good vibe, a good culture. Like you said, they drafted a lot of good guys. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that culture and how you think that's going to affect your development or help your development.
You know, I obviously haven't been around some of these vets, and I'm excited and eager to get in there and kind of learn how they operate on the field and off the field. Get into the locker room and just start developing relationships. You know, at our place in Wyoming, we preach a lot of love and just try to be each other's, you know, best friends. So hopefully it's like that here, and I'm sure it is. I know there's a lot of really good guys. You know, Lorenzo Alexander's reached out to me a time or two, and, you know, he's the leader of the defense. And obviously, like I said, there's just a lot of good dudes in this locker room. I'm excited to be a part of this team.
Yeah, when you came up, I showed you a picture of a selfie with somebody in Buffalo took of you. And you arrived in town last night. You immediately got recognized by a friend of mine. And took a selfie. I mean, are you going to get used to that? Because, listen, you can't hide in Buffalo. It's a small town. It's a small city. But everybody knows the players. So are you going to really put your arms around Buffalo and embrace it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Buffalo's a part of me now. You know, I'm going to try to become the best, obviously, teammate possible and the best citizen of Buffalo possible. So I'm here for the long haul, hopefully. That's my plan. I want to be here for, you know, 15-plus years, you know, and I want to have a great career, and obviously that starts now, and just trying to be as moldable as possible, trying to learn and pick up new things, and obviously be the best team that I can be.
Josh Allen, good luck, congratulations, and we'll send it back to you, Murph, in the studio.
Appreciate
Steve
it.
Tasker, along with Josh Allen, wow, great answers. I love the end there when he talked about Buffalo's part of him now. Okay, one, all it took was one rookie minicamp practice, and Josh Allen is all in. And he did get a chance to meet with his one of his predecessors, Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly, just weeks removed from his surgery, his latest surgery. Josh Allen coming off the practice field, got a chance to shake hands with Jim Kelly, and a little bit of a hug there too. Kind of a neat moment there. Kelly, along with head coach Sean McDermott, Steve talked about it earlier. He was at Kelly's house last night with some of the other veterans, and the two of them there, Josh Allen and Jim Kelly, that's the money shot. Steve Tasker's back with us now in the studio. That is the money shot right there, Steve. Josh Allen talking with one of his predecessors, one of the all-time greats, Jim Kelly, the Hall of Famer. What a great moment that must have been for both of them. I'm sure Jim was kind of excited about it, too.
Yeah, Jim, I told you, Jim called it. He said he's the guy. He knew they were going to pick Josh Allen. He knew it was going to happen. I was like, yeah, okay, buddy. But
Jim posing for pictures with Josh as well. That's cool.
Jim's he's a fixture. And there's no doubt that young quarterbacks know who he is. And they know what he means. And I don't know if Josh Allen knows yet what Jim Kelly means to this region. But he's going to find out. And hopefully that is just what it looked like. A passing of the baton from the old to the new, and one Hall of Fame quarterback to another one, right? I mean, that's the best case scenario. But nevertheless, you can't become a Buffalo Bill without knowing the history of the franchise, and it starts with that guy, the guy who wore number 12.
You know, so Steve was out there, and he talked to, three draft picks. You talked to both first-rounders, Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds, and you also talked to the offensive lineman, Wyatt Teller, from Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And Steve came in here and said, those are three big guys. I just talked to you.
I forgot how short I am. All my, when we're playing all
you
these.
How short
listen,
you, are.
You forget when you're out among the normal population. I don't stand out as being that short.
No,
I'm
average.
A 5'9".
Yeah.
You go into that locker room, all of a sudden you're a twerp. Tremaine Edmonds and good grief, Wyatt Teller,
giant.
He's as broad and tall as anything. I mean, good grief. And they're, here's the thing about it. First of all, they're all young enough to be my kids by a significant amount of years. And secondly, they're all really good guys. You could tell that in the Tremaine Edmonds, talking to him. You could tell when you talked to Josh Allen, he was just so sincere and so open and, just such a good, his heart's in the right place. And then Wyatt Teller, just, you could tell there's a lot inside of him. I heard a little brief conversation between him and Tremaine Edmonds, and they're talking just like they know each other really well, about.
Well, the college teammates.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So they got a built-in relationship, and they're talking to each other about it. You can tell. And it's really exciting to see that among these young players and to see them, they're so physically gifted, all three of them. And to see them all land on the same team, taking off in what could be, who knows what kind of careers they're going to have, but it's certainly going to be fun. While it lasts.
And you talked to him. You were standing right there with Josh Allen. But judging from his demeanor talking to you and some of the things he was saying, I got the sense that he was kind of relieved that today was over. First day's over. Talked about how it felt good to throw to some of his guys out there. And I anticipate he's probably looking forward to the remaining practices this weekend with the other rookies. Like, okay, the first one's done. Got through it. I'm still standing. I can play at this level. Yeah. And now it sounded like as if he can't wait to get back at it tomorrow with this group.
Yeah, and you got to think about it from their perspective. Being on the football field is the only place they're familiar. That's the only thing that's not new. Even though there's new players, new coaches and all that, that's the one place they know, walking up and down these hallways, which door to go into and which ones to stay out of and where you're supposed to be and where you're not supposed to be and who you're supposed to be talking to and looking for. It's all new. Their locker's new, the shower's new, everything's, the bathroom's new, the faces are new. And, the one thing that feels familiar is when you actually put the cleats on and walk out and get on the field. I think it is pretty relieving to get out there.
Another kind of a milestone day, it strikes me, will be next week when the veterans return for what for them would be the fourth week of the off-season conditioning program, which now does include some teamwork on the field. It's not offense versus defense at all, but there is teamwork. The entire offense will be on the one field, one side, the entire defense. There's classroom work, so the rookies will be in the classroom with those veterans, and I would think that's another river for those rookies to cross, right? Like meeting some of the guys who've been here for several years in some cases.
It's the first time they're all going to get together as a team. Rookies and veterans and the 2018 version of the Buffalo Bills will get together for the first time on Monday. And there may be some extra guys out there. There are going to be a lot of guys there. Not all of them will make the 53, but those 53 are probably pretty sure in that room, and or a good portion of them are. And it'll be the first time they meet. And, you know, as a rookie, as a young player, you just want to make a good impression, you know. You don't want to do anything dumb. So you're really nervous about that, meeting those guys and getting in there and fitting in more so than anything that happens on the football field. And it's pretty cool to think that that's going to happen on Monday.
All right. Day one in the books, a rookie minicamp. We hope you enjoyed what we were able to present. We showed you some of the practice. We showed you some of the highlights and really maybe the seminal moment of today's first day of the rookie minicamp. Jim Kelly and Josh Allen shaking hands. That was pretty cool.
Awesome to see.
All right. Steve, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Yeah,
right?
Back awesome. Monday. Yeah, be back to work Monday and grind it out again, man. Let's start stringing them together.
Let's do it. Production assistants today from George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. We're back Monday at noon with another edition. Another week starts here at One Bills Drive, so make sure you join us then. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.